Hey, need some extra cash? Here's 100. Maybe a couple hundred. Take it. Look, there's no strings attached. Take it. Come on, take it.
Go ahead and call it. I'm up to you. the trouble unfolds. For the trials of today, but look to it, we don't care how you feel. But there's a notion of miraculous change. Twisted to automobile.
Welcome at long last to the Insomnia Stream, hopefully free of technical problems. We shall see. Fingers are crossed. Knocking on wood. I'm your host, of course, Devin Stack. This is the Insomnia Stream Uncle Yahweh edition. Uncle Yahweh. Uncle Yahweh's Minute Rice. That was kind of too long of a name, so I had to shorten it down, but that's the real name. That's the proper name is Uncle Yahweh's Minute Rice. But again, too long. Anyway, hope you guys are having a good week. It's heating up over here, that's for sure. This is we're rapidly approaching the time of year that I have to try to cool the pillbox down as much as possible prior to the stream and then sweat my balls off because the air conditioner is too loud to have on during the stream. But anyway, it's not so bad at the moment. Not so bad right now. But we didn't stream Saturday. I had some technical problems. The electricity here just destroys things, I've decided. And I've tried putting line conditioners on the power lines and going through UPSs and all this other stuff, and doesn't seem to help. In fact, I had one line conditioner get fried the other day when all this went down. So, in fact, as far as I know, that's what did it. So, I don't know. I'm doing what I can to try to make sure that my sensitive electronics can survive really bad electrical service out here. It's not even the wiring at this point, because I have brand new I rewired everything from my where I stream from, my desk, to the box. So anything that's happening now, I can't even blame on old wiring. So it's just coming from, well, I guess it's old wiring just out on the pole. It's old wiring. And I've had the fucking electrical people out here. When I first moved here, they were pumping like over 130 volts into my house. Like, for those of you who don't know, that's way too high. And I got them to drop it down to, it's about 120, which is, you know, better. It's about, you know, you want a little less than that, but it's acceptable. And it's a lot better than 130, whatever it was. But I have to monitor it all the time because it fluctuates with the heat. And I think that might have been what happened, is the heat affects the power lines out here, I guess, and weird shit happens. But hey, it is what it is. It is what it is. I got it working, so didn't lose a whole lot of data. Lost a lot of the data that I put together for the stream, which is why we had to shut her down. I just didn't want to, you know, half-ass this. It's probably kind of lengthy. There's a lot to go over. It's kind of an interesting story. It's a story that most people are unaware of, and it involves all kinds of characters. You want to stay till the end, because some unexpected characters might appear at the very end. People you wouldn't expect, where you're just like, yeah, really? But, it, you know, it happens. But I was researching different movements in America. Different black power. You know what's crazy, actually? So one of the ways I've been trying to find new topics, find new stories that no one's really heard of, is you trick AI into telling you about stuff, and then you can't rely on it at all for the research, because it's full of lies. But you can sometimes at least get you to get it to tell you about something that you didn't know about by comparing it to other things, right? And one of the things I noticed, this was a couple of weeks ago, well, actually when I was first before I actually got a hold of this topic here, I mentioned to Grok, I think it was. I said, you know, I'm looking at American 20th century history and events that have similarities and parallels. And one of the events that I am interested in finding a similar event to is the zebra killings in California. For those of you who don't remember, I did a stream about that. It was basically these black anti-white Muslims that were murdering white people at random. And went on for a while, and you watch the stream if you want to know more about that. And so I was looking for different cases. So I'd bring up like that as one example, right? I'd say, well, you know, what about this? And it's funny because oftentimes it'll say, oh yeah, I'll come up with similar situations, and by default it always reverses the races. It always reverses the races. It always tries to find cases where, like, a white guy was killing black people or something like that, right? And even after you specify. In fact, with Grok, I said, all right, no, the criteria is it has to be this, you know, black people or you know, killing white people, and the media perhaps not wanting to talk about it because of the implications of, you know, they're trying to not... you can't just say it like it is. You kind of have to talk like a retard to Grok and be like, you know, to try not to stoke racial tensions or whatever. And at any rate, after pulling teeth, finally, Grock says to me, "Oh yeah, well, actually, there is a case. There's a case in Buffalo, New York, in the 1970s, 1972 to 1973. There was a black guy who was sniping random white people." And I was like, "Well, really, I don't heard of that. That's kind of crazy." So I'm like, I'm copying and pasting the output from Grock into my notes so that I can go back and research it later, right? And I'm having this conversation, I guess, with Grock, where I'm like, "Okay, well, who were the suspects?" And it's like, "Oh yeah, this guy named John Mitchell, I think that was the name it told me." He's still not arrested. They really suspect that he did it. He was called in for questioning. This went on. It was like 20 minutes of it giving me all these details, the names of the officers, the dates of the shootings, the victims, the suspected kind of gun it was, the witness testimony. Next day, I look up this event and it doesn't seem to exist. The name, I think it was John Mitchell. Nothing's coming up. I'm typing in like Buffalo sniper, nothing's coming up. And I'm like, "Huh, this is a little weird." And so I go to Grock and I say, "Hey, yesterday you told me about this Buffalo sniper guy named John Mitchell, and you gave me all these details, and I can't seem to find any record of this ever happening." And I shit you not, Grock's response was, I have no memory of telling you anything about this. And I can't find any information on this event either." And I'm like, "Well, I know I'm not crazy because I literally copied and pasted. I didn't dream this because I copied and pasted. I still have it. I have your exact output right here." And every other AI I asked, I was just to see if maybe there's a glitch. No, Grock for like 20 minutes made up this entire story about a black guy named John Mitchell in Buffalo, New York, in 1972 to 1973, who shot and killed six white guys or white people, injured something like five, was interviewed by police and let go on a because they didn't have enough evidence, was seen by various witnesses. It gave me names of witnesses, gave me names of police officers who, by the way, probably didn't exist. Because I'm searching just the names in like the newspaper archive and stuff like that. Nothing at all. People with these names in Buffalo, New York. It just completely made it up for a while. Like, it wasn't just like it gave me one bad response. It gave me a bad response and then kept building on it until I stopped talking to it. And I was like, "Holy shit." Like, and if this is what it's doing when it makes black people look bad, imagine the kinds of shit that the people are looking up about white people. And I don't think it's unique to Grock. I don't think that this is a problem that's going to just have that. I know that the technical term for it is, they say, AI hallucinates sometimes. It hallucinates. That's one hell of a hallucination. For it to come up with all this stuff. And again, not just like one single bad response where it jumbled up a couple events thinking it was one event, but like just completely making it up. And then when you ask it for more information, it keeps making it up. So anyway, that's why you can't rely on AI for any kind of research like that at all. This is why I laugh when I see people on Twitter act as if Grock is somehow proving them right or someone else wrong about a particular issue. When they're like, "Hey, Grock, what do you think?" And it's like, well, does it matter what Grock thinks? It's like this schizophrenic retard. It's a schizophrenic retarded robot that you're asking. But anyway, in the same conversation, I was able to get. It was funny because it wasn't the only fake event it told me about. That was the only fake event that I believed was real for about 20 minutes. Because some of the other things it told me, it was like, I know that's not real, or you're mixing this up with that, and it's stunning how bad it was, like how absolutely bad it was. And in fact, when it told me about this story, when it told me the headline version of it, I didn't believe it. I did not believe this happened until I was like, well, I might as well just see. And then I was getting results and I was like, holy shit, this is real? This sounded faker than anything else Grok told me. This sounded like the fakest. Out of everything Grok told me, this is what I thought was the hallucination. And so I started researching it and pulling up old newspaper articles and pulling up old video clips. And sure enough, it was real. It was real. Now, I think a good way to introduce you to the story, and then we're going to backtrack and kind of look back at some of the history of it, is there was a news report. Not very many. In fact, we'll make a point about that, or rather, maybe an old friend that many of you guys are familiar with will make a point about this show or about this event later in the show. But I was puzzled why, you know, this seems like there was almost no coverage of this. I've never heard of this at all, and my guess is unless you lived there locally at the time that this was going on, you probably have no idea that this happened. So aside from this one little news report, which I don't think was national. I think it was a local piece. And if it was national, it was like, it was one of those things where it goes on the wire and you kind of pick and choose whether or not you're going to go with it. But yeah, this is kind of interesting. Anyway, we'll let's go ahead and get it started here. Ba-bum-ba-dump. This is a nice little intro to what we're going to be talking about tonight.
Perhaps the best way to explain our first story tonight is to put it in the words of the subject himself. He says, you must choose between a black god named Yahweh or the white devil. Choose between heaven on earth with this black god or hell and destruction with the white man. He claims to be the Messiah. He lives in Miami, but he says he has followers in 20 cities, a total of 5 million worldwide. He is Yahweh, Ben Yahweh.
I'm talking about a very special person. I'm talking about the man who created the sun, the moons, and the stars. I'm talking about the man who's responsible for the food we eat, for the water we drink, and for the air we breathe. I'm talking about the one and only Yahweh, Ben Yahweh.
When he appears, he comes as the representative of God on earth. Yahweh ben Yahweh in Hebrew means God, Son of God. His followers call themselves Black Hebrew Israelites. They believe he will lead them out of bondage, away from the white devil and the sins of the past.
Yeah, so right off the bat, I'd never heard of this guy. Yahweh ben Yahweh. Apparently, lots of black people, thousands of black people living in a community in Florida worshipped him as a god in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. I never heard of this guy. It was an international religion to some extent, but they were based in Florida. They had, you know, Florida, of course. They had a lot of property, millions of dollars worth of properties, and he was chauffeured around in a limo everywhere he went, and he had a group of loyal followers who legitimately thought he was a god. And I was a little surprised, like, why would anyone believe anything this motherfucker would have to say?
The destruction of America was set in motion the moment they brought niggas to the shore.
Wait, hold on. I'm sorry. I take it all back. I agree 100%. I now, hold on, all of a sudden I see what they're talking about. Wow, this guy's spitting facts. Like, you know what?
The destruction of America was set in motion the moment they brought niggas to the shore.
Preach! Preach, brother Yahweh! Preach, brother! Wow, this guy, he's a little more insightful than I thought. I mean, I'm gonna give this guy a chance. Maybe I jumped the gun a little bit. I spoke too soon. Here I saw the there's my xenophobia, right? There goes my as my internalized racism. I see a turban, I'm like, I don't believe it. This guy's a crackpot.
The destruction of America was set in motion the moment they brought niggas to the shore.
Amen, brother. Amen. So anyway, they continue to tell the story of Yahweh Ben Yahweh.
When Yahweh Ben Yahweh came with his solution, this is what he found. Liberty City, Miami was in flames. The riots in May of 1980 provided a chilling glimpse of the rage and despair contained within. Blacks, neglected and leaderless, went on a rampage. That same year, and from those ashes, the Son of God appeared.
I am come to bring peace on earth. I am come as the savior of the entire planet earth to intervene in the affairs of man by establishing the laws of God, the creator.
And you believe you can do that, one man?
One man created the heavens and the earth. One man, Hitler, almost destroyed everybody.
Oy vey. Never mind, I take it all back. So he shows up. The context, the backdrop is that blacks are rioting and burning down cities all across America. I know, hard to narrow it down. That doesn't exactly give you a feel for what decade that is, because it seems to happen every decade. But the backdrop is it's the late 70s, early 80s. He shows up in the area, and all the blacks in Florida, in the Miami-Dade County area specifically, are destitute and poor, go figure. And he shows up with a bunch of money and starts buying up properties and starts his cult, where he tells these poor black people that he is a god, that he is God, Son of God, and that God is black, and that the real chosen people are blacks, specifically black Americans, and that they are destined to rule the world. And again, thousands of people flock to his message. He also tells them that the big problem with the world is the white devil, and that if it wasn't for the white devil, they would be kings, because they was kings. In fact, they was kings, and if it weren't for the white devil getting in the way, they would be ruling the universe. So a lot of these black people who are, apparently they didn't get the memo that by 1990, which is only 10 years away at this point, roughly, racism would be gone forever. So, racial tensions didn't exist until Obama. They flocked to this message that the white devil was the ill of the cause for everything wrong in the universe and in the black man's life, and that their black god, this guy, Yahweh Ben Yahweh, was going to show them the light.
Do you want to rule the whole world or just the black world?
Yahweh is already the ruler of the whole world. He raised me up to establish his rulership. Black and white is simply not an issue. It's all about moral people of the earth. You are free to be one of my followers. If you be good, are you good?
If you be good, you know what I mean, baby. So he starts this cult, and wow, what a creepy motherfucker, right? Anyway, let's continue.
To be good and moral means to give oneself over to the nation of Yahweh, to don the white robes and the last name of Israel. To some in this ravaged community, these followers are saviors. They've taken buildings crawling with crack dealers and prostitutes and turned them into safe, clean housing and motels. They have done it for the love of Yahweh, and they've done it themselves, in the Yahweh carpentry and upholstery shops, and even Yahweh grocery stores. All in all, Yahweh Ben Yahweh estimates his nation to be worth $100 million. Those accomplishments and his assets have made him the biggest black businessman in Miami and a member of the local Chamber of Commerce.
So he's actually respected. Respected by the community. Aside from the crazy I'm literally God thing, people are thinking to themselves like, well, you know, maybe it's not so bad. All right, so he tells them that he's God, and you know, the stupid Negroes, you know, they believe in, but at least they believe in something now, right? And now they've got these Yahweh grocery stores and these Yahweh hotels and these Yahweh apartments, and it could be worse, right? They used to be these gross little crack dens everywhere and gang wars happening and murder and shit. So, hey, yeah, so it's not, you know, I guess it could be, you know, it could be worse. It could be worse, right? Instead of having black gangsters walking around committing crimes all the time, we just got like weirdo black cult members wearing white turbans. I mean, that's nothing wrong with that, right?
For economic development, Yahweh Ben Yahweh.
This spring, the Urban League gave him its humanitarian award for economic development.
I love you all for a better Miami.
We can see the tangible evidence of what they're doing.
T. Willard Fair is the head of Miami's Urban League.
I feel good when I go by an apartment building. There was a crack house last week. And to now see that building, painted in white, now an oasis in the heart of my community. I feel good about that. It's being done by black folks under black leadership.
Well, look at that. You know, again, in-group preference is totally fine when black people do it. In fact, it's something to be celebrated when black people do stuff specifically for black people. And despite the rhetoric about the white devils and the whole kill whitey stuff that sometimes slips out here and there, he's making the neighborhood look nicer. They're painting up these new places. They're cleaning out the homeless people and the drug addicts and the gangsters. So, he deserves to be commended. Finally, black people are doing something for themselves. I'm sorry, for theyselves, right? There's his limo. There's his fancy limo there.
Way to the left.
Yahweh Ben Yahweh is more than a leader. He is a force in Miami. All that he has is a symbol to all that he has arrived. But along the way, he has had more than one name and more than one image. He was born Hulon Mitchell Jr. in Enid, Oklahoma in 1935. In the 60s, he called himself Hulon Shah, led the black Muslims in Atlanta, and advocated the violent overthrow of whites. Later, he became Father Michel, chauffeur-driven pastor of the modern Christian church. In the 80s, when he took on the mantle of Yahweh Ben Yahweh, his writings declared the white man the enemy, to be destroyed. But his public face changed. On our tour, he was Yahweh Ben Yahweh, concerned civic leader.
Oh, no big deal. He wants to destroy the white man. So why not allow him to be a member of the Chamber of Commerce? Why not give him awards? I mean, he just openly advocates for the destruction of the white man, the white devil, right? Right? But some mom said nigger in a playground. So, anyway, so far it's, you know, so far it's not horrible, I guess, despite what, you know, what he says.
25 years ago, the only blacks allowed on Miami Beach were servants and gardeners who had special passes. Now Yahweh Ben Yahweh owns part of that beach, and that in Miami means money and power.
The destruction of America was set in motion the moment they brought niggas to the shores.
Can you imagine Miami Beach? She said 25 years ago, blacks weren't allowed on Miami Beach unless they had special passes. We used to have a real country. Have you been? I don't know if you guys have been to Miami Beach. Like within the last, I don't know, 20 years. Since they stopped requiring the passes. Yeah, not awesome anymore. Not awesome. And this was kind of the beginning of the end, really. You know, you had you used to have a real country. You used to have a real country. I mean, now you have you know, spring break has essentially been banned from Miami because so many black people go and just eviscerate the city, just destroy the city. I mean, it's endless. I was going to show you guys clips, but it's just like you've seen them. I'm sure you've seen them. You've seen spring break in on any beach, really, in Florida. It's just black people getting drunk, high, raping other people, fighting people, crashing cars into people, shooting people. I mean, I've been to Miami. And anyone that's been to Miami, you know what I'm talking about. So it's really sad to hear that. I don't know when exactly this aired. Just judging on the year of the limo and everything else, I'm gonna say late 80s. Actually, just because I know the timeline of some other things that go on here, it would have to be late 80s. And so, just 25 years prior to that, black people weren't allowed without a pass. And you want to go back to the 90s? You want to go back to the 90s, not to the time when black people had to have a pass to go to Miami Beach. Because the 90s is after this, what we're going to talk about tonight. This is, like I said, this probably aired, if I had to guess, 87. Just because of some of the other things that I have the dates for that we'll be taking a look at. Anyway. Here's where some of the rhetoric, the let's kill Whitey rhetoric, it ends up not being maybe even the worst part about the Yahweh Ben Yahweh group once you begin to scratch a little bit at the surface.
On October 30th, 1986, they did just that.
No, Yahweh ain't no goddamn.
That was the day Anthony Brown.
And Yahweh don't care, daddy.
And Rudolph Broussard refused to move from a housing complex the Yahwehs were about to purchase.
I'm going to stay here until I get eviction notice. I don't care what they say. I do, because they ain't going in. Just as simple as that.
10 hours later, after quarreling with staff-wielding Yahweh men clad in white robes, Brown and Broussard were shot and killed.
Oh, okay. We're gonna get more into this, but the Yahwehs purchased one of these black ghettos that everyone was so excited that they were going around purchasing, and two of the residents said they didn't want to leave. They wanted to stay in their apartment, and made fun of the Yahwehs on television. That clip that you just watched aired. And then just a couple hours after it aired, they were both shot and killed. That's interesting.
You thought that white people were devils and brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, as the scripture quotes.
And what did he propose that you do about white people, these devils?
Well, he says that Yahweh is going to destroy white people in the end through wars and however else Yahweh sees fit to destroy them. Often he's asked how many of y'all would kill for Yahweh, and everyone raised their hand.
Former members say that you advocate violence against people who are enemies of Yahweh and against white people.
If I advocated violence against our enemies, my enemies, there wouldn't be any.
They say that you have suggested or taught that they bring back the head of a white person in a bag.
How are you sitting here? There wouldn't be any white people if that were so. There's no heads of white people anywhere. Have you read of any? Have you read of bodies of white people being around all over America without their heads? That's ridiculous.
Is it now? Yeah, we're going to revisit that. But it's... Why is she asking that? You're probably asking yourself. Why are there rumors that he's asking members of his congregation to kill white people and bring back trophies to prove that they've killed white people? It's weird. It's a weird question for if I got interviewed by a reporter and the reporter said, is it true, Devin, that in order to be one of the pill poppers, I don't know, you have to kill a black man and bring his head back in a pillow sack or a pillowcase? I'd be like, no, that's really crazy. Where did you? Why would what? And I guess that's kind of how he's answering, but not really, because you can tell he's heard this question before. All right. Well, we'll get back to that, I guess.
If we kill people who criticize us, then the media would all be dead. We would have to worry about negative publicity because all of you would be dead. So the very fact that all who criticize us are not dead makes that a lie.
Because he's, clearly he's a god. And so if he wants you dead, you'll just be dead. I mean, that's essentially what he's saying. I mean, let's just be clear about that. That is kind of a little bit of a threat. Hey, yeah, if I want you dead, you'll be dead.
If you hinder me, if anyone hinders me or hinders my work, then my Father Yahweh has written in his holy word that he will consume those who oppress me or those I come to.
So you mean the wrath of God is going to be upon us?
Without question. Judgment will be set without question.
Yeah, that's definitely not threatening at all. Because she says us, and he's like, oh yeah. But he's doing so much good in the community. He's doing so much good. He's making these black people have purpose.
Allow it to anybody who makes positive contributions to the physical and moral character of building of my community. When black folks see that yesterday I was nobody and today I'm somebody. Yesterday I had no purpose in life. Today I am Sister Israel. I'm in charge of XYZ. Yesterday I was just a common nigga. Today I am the chosen Hebrew Israelite.
Oh, yes. Yes, yesterday you were just a common nigger, and now you're a Jew. What an upgrade. So he's a black guy, but there's other white community leaders. And in fact, the mayor, who wasn't black, who I think he's Cuban, we'll get to here in a moment. Everyone thought he was doing great things for the black community, even though in his printed literature he talks about destroying the white devil. And many of the people who joined his cult joined precisely for that reason.
I've never seen a much more peaceful, loving, hugging, caring person in my life. So he may be violent, but in some other forum, under different kinds of circumstances, he may be a Dr. Jekyll and a Mr. Hyde. He may have one face for me and another face for you.
And if you don't believe it, just keep on messing with me and you'll find out that Yahweh is God and controls nature.
He controls nature. But no, they're not a cult. Listen to this this follower of Yahweh. He'll tell you that they're not a cult.
Hebrew Israelites, which are in Mobe, are not cult. These people are not cult. Society only paint a picture on them to give them a bad name and to make them look ridiculous.
See, they're not a cult, guys. Definitely not a cult. So let's dive into Yahweh ben Yahweh a little bit. So as she said, Yahweh ben Yahweh was born in 1935 in Oklahoma and was one of 15 children. One of 15 children. His father was a Pentecostal preacher. Sometime in the 1960s, he joined the Nation of Islam. But before that, actually, I skipped something here. The first mention I can find of him, his real name was Hulon Mitchell Jr. His father, obviously, Hulon Mitchell. And this is an article about his dad talking about how his sons were good boys and definitely were not the ones that threw Molotov cocktails through the windows of some buildings after Martin Luther King was assassinated, even though they obviously did. This is an article from, let's see here, what date was it? Yeah, 1968. Also testifying was Reverend Hulon Mitchell. That's the father. 53, pastor of Antioch Church of God in Christ, and a 17-year employee of Union Equity Cooperative Exchange. He is the father of three boys accused of possessing explosives after police said they found two Molotov cocktails in their car. Besides Richard, the sons are Marvin, 15, Milton, 17. So these are three of the other, this is three of his brothers. This is not Hulon Jr., who I guess probably would have been in his 30s at the time. The minister said that all three sons were in Tulsa with him at the time. You know, no, not my boy. So he comes from a family of radicals, violent radicals. He, around this time, had joined the Nation of Islam because he was attracted to radical movements. This is a clip. The first known interview I could find, at least, where he appears, where he's dressed all up in his Nation of Islam stuff, defending yet more violent, you know, while his little brothers, I guess, were throwing Molotov cocktails and burning down buildings in Oklahoma, you had Yahweh ben Yahweh, or rather Hulon Mitchell, who had taken on the name of Hulon X at the time. So he's gone by several different names, but Hulon X was his name at this time. And he was going around as a representative of the Nation of Islam defending violent black terrorists, black anti-white terrorists. And this is a news report where they're discussing the violence that had taken place and the kind of stuff that he was defending, I guess.
The report showed that the five Muslims arrested were selling the Muslim publication Mohammed Speaks on Hunter Street. According to the police, the five brothers began beating several people who wouldn't buy the newspaper. The Muslims say that they were attacked first. In any case, they were brought to the city jail for booking. They were placed in a minimum security detention area, at which time one of the brothers yelled at an officer, "You don't have to shout so loud." Following this, another brother jumped off the bench and began beating the officer. According to the police, during the melee, the Muslim brothers picked up tools that were being brought into the station in connection with another case. Then they began hitting all of the officers in the immediate area. The report continues that during the fight, five officers were injured, with patrolman E.G. Brown being the most critically injured. He received a cut in the neck by a hacksaw blade. Other officers received lacerations to the face and body.
The destruction of America was set in motion the moment they brought niggas to the shores.
Again, why do we have these people again? No one's been able to tell me. No one's been able to tell me why exactly we need black people in 2025. I don't know. I don't know why we have anyway. We had the Nation of Islam guy start a fight. They get arrested. They start beating up cops. Get hospitalized. At least one of them. Here he is in his Hulon X persona, and standing up for the rights of his brothers.
And we then learned that they stated here that the brothers attacked them. But upon talking with the brothers, we found that they had been viciously set upon and attacked and beaten by the police department here. And then they were then sent to the hospital, greatest hospital, and being brought back, they were beat again, viciously and inhumanly, kicked about the body, kicked in the ribs, and beaten about the head in the elevator, up to the top floor and back. Then they were put into their individual cells.
See, they didn't do nothing. It was just the white cops just beat him unmerciful. This guy, I couldn't stop looking at this guy, like the guy on the right. I was just like, look at him. I'm muted. Just the dead-eyed. Let me zoom it in. Hold on. This guy. There's nothing going on up there. There's just nothing going on up there. He's just barely sentient. He's barely look at this guy. He's barely fucking sentient. why do we have these people? Why do we have these people again? So that's one of his foot soldiers. And it's kind of funny because, he's God, right? He's God, the Son of God. But he's also a member of the Nation of Islam just really a few years prior. That's a little odd that such a transformation took place, especially given his opinion here in 1960-something.
He came down simply as an observer out of interest of black people being attacked and illegally arrested.
Is he a member of the Muslim group here in Atlanta?
All black people are Muslims.
All black people are Muslims until they're not. So I guess he just learned a trick. A trick that many people still today use is a very powerful tool. They know that you can use religion to influence people really more effectively than anything else. Religion is a more effective tool of influence than anything else. More effective than money. More effective than philosophy or politics, or it might sound contradictory, but even theology. Religion, the religious fervor, that it doesn't have to be consistent. It doesn't have to make any sense. It comes with it a stamp of approval from God. And if you make yourself God, well, then there's not much you can't accomplish. So this guy here changes his name from Hulon X sometime between the late 60s and the late 70s. And, really probably around the early 70s, based on what we know about him. He began to look at the work of faith-healing black preachers who were, again, using religion as a tool of influence and a tool to enrich themselves. Again, something that many people today still do, to enrich themselves and have influence and power over people. He started following the work of Father Jehovah, or no, Jehovia, Father Jehovia Morris, and Father Divine. They were two big black ministers that were faith healers of the sort that you know, the stereotype that is conjured up in your mind when you think of faith healers in a tent using the powers of persuasion and I don't know, like group hallucinations to make people think that they're healing people and casting out demons and all this fun stuff. He decided to kind of model himself after these guys, and we don't have a whole lot of record of it, but during that decade of the 70s is when he was traveling around. We know he went to New York for a little while, and was making tons of money doing faith healing and, you know, just scamming people, almost exclusively black people, into thinking that he was a messenger of God and that he was able to cure cancer and, you know, whatever the hell else, right? So he makes a ton of money doing this sort of scam, and then he moves to Miami in 1978. Look at that awesome lettering there. You'd think with all the money, you could afford like a proper sign. But in 1978, he arrives in Miami, and by 1979, he has founded the Nation of Yahweh. The Nation of Yahweh, he declares himself the Black Messiah and creates a compound, recruiting basically the sorts of people that make great recruits for your cult. People who don't have, you know, people who aren't very educated, people who don't have a whole lot of means. So in a way, it's kind of like, you know, if you have enough money to where you can provide any kind of housing for them, you know, you'll get people that'll do anything for you. And so he starts gathering these soldiers together to be part of his cult. He's passing out a lot of literature about the white devil and how the white devil is keeping everybody down. And because of the anti-white hatred that all non-whites harbor in their souls, easy pickings. Like, I don't want to repeat myself endlessly about this, but I mean, it's if you have a white society with black people in it, they are not, as a group, you know, there obviously there'll be exceptions, but as a group, they will not be able to compete and succeed at the same level as the average white person. And so they are going to have to come up with an explanation for that. They're going to have to figure out, well, why is it that all these white people are successful and wealthier than I am, and I'm dirt poor and stupid? And no one's going to tell them it's because your average IQ is the same as what's considered retarded for white people. In fact, they had to lower what was considered retarded for white people so as not to offend the average of black people who would be considered retarded. And that's why you're not succeeding at the same level as white people, is because compared to white people, you're quite literally retarded. And so why would you be expected to perform at the same level and have any kind of success? Again, there's exceptions to every rule. So instead, they start looking for external things that could be causing this, some other force. And Yahweh ben Yahweh gave them that reasoning, that excuse. And it was because the white devil was here to persecute the black man. They were fulfilling some kind of biblical prophecy by being brought here to America from Africa. He you know, created some narrative using scriptures that can be interpreted to mean whatever you want them to mean. He made them interpreted to mean that the blacks were the real Israelites and that they were in bondage here in America, and that Yahweh, his father, was going to punish the whites and make them the masters of the universe once again. And this was a really appealing message to a lot of really poor, retarded black people in Florida. And so they flocked to his organization. Here is this the recording? Yeah, this is a recording of one of his broadcasts. He also started doing, he was doing broadcasts on shortwave radio, which was the thing to do before the internet if you were a crazy cult leader and you wanted to have, you know, reach out to random people around the world. Shortwave radio was the way to do it. It wasn't super expensive. And you would, you know, you'd reach people all over the world, and who knows where the checks would start coming in from. But I believe this is a recording of one of his, how his broadcast would open.
Shalom and welcome to this international broadcast of our great, good, and terrible black God, Yahweh, and to his son, Yahweh Ben Yahweh. We're broadcasting live from International Headquarters, 2766 Northwest 62nd Street in Miami, Florida.
So that was, that's when he's established in Miami and sending out his broadcast about the big black terrible God that that was going to rule over the world and punish whitey.
We, the so-called black people of America, are the chosen people of Almighty God Yahweh. We are the people of the Old Testament Bible. Prophecy in the Old and New Testament tells us to look for the coming of Yahweh, Ben Yahweh, who would come in his Father's name, Yahweh. St. John 5:43. The so-called black people of America are the most blessed people on earth.
The destruction of America was set in motion the moment they brought niggas to the shores.
So that's the message, basically, in a nutshell. He's telling everyone that, you know, don't feel like you're just some garbage human that doesn't belong in this advanced society. You're actually God's favorite little guys. You're God's favorite people, and just the white devil using the white devil technology to keep you down. And to let you know that he indeed was telling everyone that he was a god. Here is an example of one of his sermons where he says exactly that. He doesn't beat around the bush. He says he is God.
Who are the black people of America? My people in America suffer from an identity crisis. You have...
By the way, this also explains why this crazy message would appeal to the black people, because he's right. Black people do not belong in a white society. They don't belong. And so you're always going to have people that are going to be able to take advantage of this. You're always going to have people to be able to take advantage. What you could say it's people like this. You could say it's the Democrats. You know, you could say it's well, Jews. You could say it doesn't matter. Anyone that's going to give them some kind of narrative that can make sense of their existence in a foreign environment where they're ill-suited for success. And give them some kind of reason that explains their troubled existence. I mean, look, on some level, I have a little bit of sympathy. I get it. I kind of get it. But this should show you how ill-suited blacks are for white society. That even something as crazy as this sounds reasonable. And that's what he's exploiting. You can tell that's what he's exploiting when he starts talking about it.
My people in America suffer from an identity crisis. You have gone to all types of schools. You studied all types of philosophies, but nothing has taught you who you are. Oh, you got religion. You have gotten hold on every religion in the world. And not one religion has taught you who you are. The question is, who are you? Who are you? Don't tell me what your religion is. I didn't ask you what is your religion. I asked, who are you? What is your nationality? What nation of people on earth do you come from? What is your place in life? What is your destiny? What is your ultimate destiny on the planet Earth? What reason were you born? Why are you even born? Why are you born? Why are you born at this time in history? What is your place in history? What is your future place in history? Your religions haven't taught you. No matter what school you went to, you didn't learn your nationality. Hallelujah, Yahweh. So I just want to testify to you in answering this question that Yahweh is God. Our great, good, and terrible, black, nappy-headed God, Yahweh, man, Yahweh. You who say Yahweh is a spirit, you are lying. I'm not a spirit, so Yahweh is not a spirit. My father is no spirit. My father's name is Yahweh, and he is the Ancient of Days. You can't, are you some kind of fool? You can't kill God.
Also, way easier to get away with this stuff before the internet. When you, there's no way for people to look up the fact that his dad's really a Pentecostal minister in Oklahoma. So. Or to see clips of him dressed up as, you know, Hulon X and all the other stuff. But yeah, he's basically does the, you know, the black Israelite thing. Everyone in the Bible is black. Every inventor is black. Anyone of note in history was black, and the white people are covering it all up because somehow we have that ability.
So I am God, the Son of God. Hallelujah, Yahweh. I'm the one that all the world has been looking to come in the last days of the white man's rulership. I am the one the whole earth has been waiting on. And don't call me Jesus, because that's a lie. Jesus and Jehovah never existed. They don't exist and never have existed.
So his theology is a little weird. It's Christian based. But he also gets into stupid, you know, black people word games. So for example, we're done watching this part of it, but I watched a good portion of his reasoning here was because Jesus didn't exist because the letter J didn't exist. I mean, out of all the arguments I've heard for Jesus not existing, that's not the best one. But if if your audience has a you know, the average IQ of 70 or so, then I guess, you know, you don't have to be as, you know, thorough with your arguments. So he basically tells them that he is quite literally the Messiah. So everything seems to be going well for Yahweh Ben Yahweh. They're buying up all these properties. It's around 1981, we'll say. He's only been there a few years, and they're already beginning to acquire all this land and all these buildings. He requires his members to pay a 10% tithing, which is not actually that crazy. Mormons do that. Tithing quite literally means tenth, I think. So that's not absurd. I was expecting it to be like 50% or something crazy like that. But you're also expected to live on one of these properties if you're a real member. So, and the rents at these properties are well above market value. So there's other ways that he's extracting money from the people, getting them to work for free or at, you know, basically slave wages at the Yahweh store. And, you know, the same sort of things you would see in most cults. And then the first little bits of violence. First little bits of violence start to pop up, which, again, is not surprising when you get a lot of your members. You attract them with this kind of rhetoric that the white devil has to be destroyed, and that you are Yahweh, the one that the world has been waiting for to come and I guess, be the one to destroy Whitey. I mean, that's essentially, you know, kind of what he's implying. He makes all of his members wear these, you know, for someone who really hates white people, he makes all the members wear white robes. He makes them be vegetarians, which is interesting. And he has them swear blood oaths. And in 1981, they execute their first disloyal member. In 1981, they behead their first disloyal member. And this all takes place with a group of enforcers that is headed up, we'll get into him a little more in a second, but a former NFL player joins the group, and he is the head enforcer and the head assassin. And just like a lot of cults, when you have people get out of line, most cults will just shun you or whatever. But because this is a cult run by black people with low impulse control, they violently murder you and decapitate you. And so there's a body found. A member of the church is found without a head in the Everglades. And the police suspect that the Yahwehs are somehow involved, but they don't really have any evidence. Later that year, you have another black guy who is interested in the cult and comes and listens to what they have to say and is weirded out when he hears Yahweh ben Yahweh claim to actually be God. And they beat the shit out of him. Here's a news report of that, this Rasta-looking guy.
29-year-old Melchizedek Tafari was admitted into Jackson Memorial Hospital this afternoon with wounds covering his upper body and face. He claims, and police substantiate, that he was beaten somewhere in the vicinity of the Black Hebrew Israelite Temple here on Northwest 62nd Street and 27th Avenue. The group claims to be the true descendants of the tribe of Judah and call the image of a white Jesus Christ a lie and an insult. Last year, the sect was investigated by police in connection with the grisly murder of a former member of the temple. From a hospital room this afternoon, Tafari claimed he attended a temple meeting and was called on by one of its members around 10 o'clock last night.
When I came to the center, he said, "Now call your God. Where's your God?" And when he said that, that was the key, the clue for his henchmen and thugs to jump me and gang me and beat me unmercifully. The movement is, like I said, a hate group. And, you know, I will never go there again.
So he gets beat the shit up, or beat the fuck up. He actually is one of the lucky ones. He escapes with his life. Not so lucky would be Robert, let me see here. I want to make sure I get the names right here. No, I'm sorry. Aston Green. So on November 12th, 1981, Ashton Green, 26 years old, a mechanic, was a member of the Yahweh group, and he was beaten severely by several of the members of the group. And while still alive, he was taken to a field in the middle of nowhere and decapitated while still alive. A jogger found the body. The medical examiner confirmed that the killer had apparently used a machete while Green was still alive. And according to court testimony later, approximately 10 members of the Yahweh group took part in the beating and the murder, and took Green back in, or took him from the actual premises of the Yahweh Temple of Love. That was the name of it, the Yahweh Temple of Love. Bound and gagged him, wrapped him in a carpet, drove him in the back of a red Ford Galaxy, and they then decapitated him in a field. And we have eyewitness testimony from another ex-member that that was guarding one of the doors when all this went down. Later, that same, actually just a couple days later, on November 14th, let's see here, is this the right one? Yeah, November 14th, Charlton Carey, who was 34, who was also a member of the group, and Mildred Banks, they were talking to the cops about the beheading of their roommate, who was Ashton Green, the guy that they wrapped up in a carpet and chopped the head off of. So they went to the police, even though they were members, and told the cops they feared for their lives, and were thinking about buying a gun for protection, and they wanted police protection or wanted the police to step in and do something. When they got back home from the police station, they had members of the Yahweh group already there waiting for them. Two hooded gunmen ambushed them. Banks, Carlton, Who's Banks? Why did I write down Banks? Oh, wait. That's the name of the shooter. I didn't write down his first name. One of the members with the last name of Banks shot and... I'm sorry. There was a third guy named Banks who was shot. They shot and killed Carlton Carey. They shot... Oh, no. I'm sorry. Mildred Banks. Sorry, my notes are a little crazy and lengthy tonight. So Carlton Carey was the 34-year-old man. He was shot and killed. Mildred Banks was a 30-year-old woman. She was shot in the neck and survived. And the police went in to try to investigate it and said that the killers apparently attempted to decapitate Carlton Carey, but were stopped because they thought they were going to get caught. But here's a news report from that.
The Black Hebrew Israelites, a religious group known to local police as the Yahwehs, are under intense investigation by Metro law enforcement officials. For some reason, two former members of the organization have been killed. One was decapitated, and another is clinging to life at a local hospital.
So here's a news report from that incident. Black militant beheaded, another shot to death, another critical. So Mildred Banks is the one that was critical, and the other two is the one that was their roommate that was beheaded in the field. And I guess Carlton is the one that got shot and killed after talking to the police. So this is the news report. A 26-year-old member of a Miami Black militant religious sect has been beheaded. A second has died of bullet wounds, and a third who renounced the group is in critical condition today after being maimed by hooded gunmen, police say. The gunmen ambushed the accountant Carlton Carey and his wife Mildred Banks, 30, in their home early Sunday. The couple fled to a neighbor's home, but minutes later, Carey was shot to death. Banks was shot in the neck and is in critical condition today after surgery. And Ashton Green, who shared their home and belonged to the same militant religious group, is dead from a grisly decapitation. Police say just hours before Carey Banks were shot, they had spent hours talking to Metro Dade detectives about the beheading. All three were former members of the Black Hebrew Israelites, a sect known to local police as the Yahwehs. They didn't like the preaching of white hatred, said homicide detective Stephen Rodruck. They complained that they wanted to get out of the religion and weren't able to, that they feared people in that church. Apparently, he said, once you become a Yahweh, there's no way out. Coroners say Green and a mechanic were beheaded while still alive. This is horrible, said Assistant Day Medical Examiner Dr. Charles Wetley. It's a rather grisly thing to say, at the least. Police said the beheading apparently with a machete, took place on a rock in a remote quarry in northwest Miami. A jogger found Green dead, his head 2 feet away from his body. Police say they know of at least a dozen other dropouts from the Miami group. Police urge other members who want to get out and are afraid to go against these people. Quote, we'll protect you. Yeah, like you did them. Said Detective Rodruck. Come on to us. We'll come out and meet you. The Black Hebrew Israelites claim to be the true descendants of the tribe of Judah. They call white Jews imposters and claim the image of a white Jesus Christ is an insult and a lie. The leader of the Miami office calls himself Moses Israel, and attempts by police to reach Israel were unsuccessful Monday. That's Yahweh ben Yahweh. His other name was Moses Israel. The Black Hebrew Israelite congregation exists in at least 15 other cities, and there are an estimated 2,000 members in Israel, and that is true. They had a branch of their religion actually go to Israel around this time and set up shop. I didn't really keep drilling down into that topic beyond the fact that as things get crazier, they end up disavowing the Miami guys, saying they're too radical, which is kind of funny. But I'd be interested to see if there is still kind of an element of the Black Hebrew Israelites that exist in Israel today. I somehow doubt it, but who knows. Here's another news article. You wouldn't even see this headline anymore. Murder probe aims at anti-white sect. You know, you wouldn't even have that headline. You wouldn't be allowed to say anything about anti-white sects. And the thing is, this wasn't widely reported. When I'm looking at these news articles in the newspaper archives, you can separate by state. And usually with something like this, you know, you have a crazy cult beheading people. You would have, you know, at least in all the major cities, you'd have some kind of mention of this going on. But it's conspicuously missing. It's conspicuous or very underreported, at the very least. No big headlines, no grabby feature stories, nothing like that. It's treated as if it's just some kind of local crime, you know, just some regular local black crime like anything else, you know. Here's a crime scene photo of, I think that's the beheaded guy, and that's the machete used to behead him. This is an interview, I think this is Mildred Banks. Yeah, this is Mildred Banks talking about it in an interview a couple years later.
They shot him. I remember maybe two shots ringing out, and I screamed.
Mildred Banks knows about violence. Today, some 9 years after she was shot, she still carries a bullet in her side. One day, in 1981, her North Dade home became a house of death. Banks and her husband, Carlton Carey, had just returned from talking with police about another Yahweh member who had been decapitated. But when they entered the home, they knew something was wrong. In 1986, she spoke with Eyewitness News.
I remember coming to and seeing them drag Michelle out. And I remember saying to myself, they are going to cut his head off. And I remember saying to myself, I got to get help. But the phones were down.
So that was the second murder incident. Now, the third murder incident was in 1983, but actually before we do that, here's another news story from 81. I don't want to get ahead of myself.
Black Hebrew Israelites believe they are the true descendants of the original Jews, but this may be the only belief the group's various branches in the United States and Israel have in common. The leader of Miami's Yahweh Temple is Moses Israel. His followers have recently come under investigation in the murders of two defectors from the group. Moses Israel denies the murders are sect-related.
I couldn't possibly have anything to do with it. I have no knowledge of it.
While Israel may deny it, the denials were not enough to stop a representative of the sect's 2,000 members in Israel from denouncing the Miami Hebrew Israelites on a local radio talk show.
We have absolutely no connection with that incident, or do we have a community existing in Miami that's connected with our communities in the land of Israel.
So that was the disavowal that the Black Hebrew Israelites in Israel did. Okay, so then in 1983, so all that was 1981. 1983, you had Leonard Dupree. And Leonard Dupree was beaten to death by a crowd of at least 15 Yahweh members. And his body has never been recovered. That was September 17th, 1983. And then we get into this guy here. This is the former NFL player I was talking about. This is Robert Rozier. Now, Robert Rozier, he was like the head enforcer, the head of security, I guess you could say, of the Yahweh group. He was basically super low IQ, retarded. Kind of like the guy in the Russian fur cap that was hanging out with Yahweh Ben Yahweh back in his Muslim days. He had a grade point average at Cordova High School in Rancho Cordova, California, of 1.3. 1.3. And yet somehow with his 1.3 grade point average, he still managed to go to Berkeley. Imagine that. He was able to go to Berkeley College without ever getting a high school diploma. He never got a high school diploma. He had a 1.3 when he dropped out. And yet he was accepted into the University of California, Berkeley, majoring in African-American studies. African-American studies, guy probably can't read, let's just be honest here. And it was all because he was a good football player. This is another reason why I have a problem with sports ball and this fucking, the Negro worship that goes along with it. I mean, people act as if you say sports ball is gay and fucking, that all it is Negrophilia. They try to act like, oh, you just, no. No, it's you gotta like athleticism. It's like the fucking Olympics. You know, like that's like Europe. That's not what it is. That's not what it is. Have you seen professional sports in the United States? Is that really, are you reminded of the Olympics of ancient Greece when you watch any professional sport or really anywhere in the world now? No. It's basically let's get black people, really retarded, violent black people to throw a ball at each other, and we'll pay them millions of dollars because you like to pay $30 for a fucking hot dog and wear their last name on your shirt while you scream and shout about how awesome the black people are. That's what it is. That's what it is. And that's what it was back then too. So he was given a spot in a college that a white person should have had because He could play football. He could play football even though he couldn't read, and they put him in, they gave him, you know, they gave him a full ride scholarship, even though a white student who actually would have deserved having some sort of financial aid and would have been able to actually accomplish something with a degree from that school, they're passed over because this fucking ape could throw a ball around. And that's what happened. So he went to Berkeley, played on the football team for a little while. Then he was drafted by the St. Louis Cardinals. And he was kicked off the St. Louis Cardinals team because he was accused of, they don't really go into detail, it just says allegations of drug use and petty crime. I guess his big Cardinals contract wasn't enough to stop him from committing petty crime, whatever that was. So then he moves in, this is 1979, he moves up to Canada because I guess Canada had some low rent Canadian Football League. It was like the shit version of the NFL in Canada. And if you were too shitty to play in the NFL, you could go play for Canada or something. But while he was in Canada playing for their league, he started writing bad checks all over town. And by 1986, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police had 32 warrants out for his arrest for check fraud. He wrote over $30,000 in bad checks in Canada, taking advantage of that high trust society, I guess, and people being afraid of being called racist. He then left Canada and started playing for the Oakland Raiders. And the Oakland Raiders, especially in this time period, they had a reputation for kind of collecting the misfits, I guess you could say, of the NFL. But they kicked him off the team after only 2 weeks. No reasons really given, but, you know, probably a violent psychopath is part of that. But by 1986, he was already wrapped up in the Yahweh movement. A lot of his money, maybe the reason he had to write bad checks, I guess, all over town is a lot of his money was going to the Yahweh movement. He was paying tithing and then some, and he was a member of their security detail in the off season, and, you know, lived in Florida when he wasn't away at games and stuff like that. He donated all of his possessions, in fact, and all of his money to the Nation of Yahweh. This wasn't super unusual. If you wanted to be someone in the club, that was the, you know, you had to prove that you were really down. You had to prove that you were really down with the Yahwehs. Another thing you had to prove if you wanted to be down with the Yahwehs was you had to, well, at least this is where those rumors I was talking about that were earlier in the show, and we played that clip from that news report. According to this man here, Robert Rozier, according to his testimony to the FBI later, if you wanted to really prove that you were down with the Yahwehs and that you were capable of being part of their security detail, you had to kill a white person. You had to kill a white person and bring back a trophy. Specifically their ears, not the head, but their ears or a finger to prove that you had killed a white person. Something that he does that we'll talk about here in a second. So in, let's see here, 1983, we have September 7th, 1983, we have Leonard Dupree is beat to death and his body goes away. And this is all done under the, the oversight and of Robert Rozier under the direction of Yahweh Ben Yahweh. And then on July of 1984, a white homeless man named Attilo Sakala, I don't know how kind of white name that is, but that's the name they have, and they call him a white homeless man. He's killed in Essex County, New Jersey, ahead of a trip that the Yahwehs were going to take to New Jersey. I guess part of some kind of ritualistic murder thing that they had going on. He went ahead of the group and killed a white person as some sort of sacrament before the Yahwehs would show up. On April 19th, 1986, they killed Glendale G. Fowler, who was a hospital technician, and Kurt Doerr, who was a waiter. They were both white people, random white people, in Miami, in the neighborhood of Coconut Grove. He followed them home to their apartment, or I guess he followed, I think it was one of them home. It doesn't say which one. Because he was drunk. He saw him walking home drunk. He followed him back to his apartment, stabbed him to death with, they just say, a 12-inch Japanese knife, and then stabbed his roommate to death. Also that year, about a month later, May 22nd, 1986, it just says a unemployed carpenter, Claire Walters, 36. Someone slashed Walters' throat and amputated his left ear. I'm pretty sure this is the same case. He was asleep in his car in a parking lot, and he was assaulted by this guy here. What's his name again? Robert Rozier. Robert Rozier and another man killed him and then cut his ear off. And then they lost the ear. So they went back and chopped his other ear off to bring back as proof that they killed a white man. In this case, Miami, ironically enough, a Miami SWAT team that was training in an abandoned motel nearby, that they're the ones that discovered the body. In July, so just 2 months later of 1986, a unemployed janitor was killed, James Lee Myers, 30. And then he was stabbed to death, and they tried to cut off his right ear. But apparently they were discovered in the act and fled the scene. September 5th, 1986, Lyle Austin Bellinger, 22, unemployed and homeless, was stabbed to death near Biscay Boulevard, and a fisherman found his body in a field north of Northwest 82nd Street and west of the Little River Canal Dam. Almost immediately, police suspected religious overtones were involved with his death. Bellinger had died of multiple stab wounds to his upper body and torso that were so intense that his intestines were hanging out of his body. The indictment said that Yahweh member Carl Douglas Perry, also known as Ahur Israel, killed Bellinger. And so this was all part of the initiation rites to become part of the inner circle, that you had to kill a white guy or kill a white person and bring back some kind of trophy. And they were also killing members of the black members of the Yahweh cult that were dissenters. So in the case of those two black guys in the beginning, one of the first murders, if you just said something bad about the Yahwehs, especially if it aired on television, then you were dead. And this was something that was all happening with the knowledge of Yahweh ben Yahweh, to some degree, the direction of Yahweh. In the cases of the black members that getting executed, that was, according to testimony from multiple people, that was Yahweh ben Yahweh directing those murders. He was the one that was accepting the trophies from the white victims and telling them good job, killing the white devil. And in fact, like I said, the first murder, at least it was initiated on campus, you know, in the Yahweh Temple of Love. September 5th, 1986, Raymond Kelly, 61, was another victim. Rosier and another Brotherhood member killed the unconscious 61-year-old Kelly, who was parked in a bar parking lot, and so he was passed out drunk. They cut off his ear, and this is the one where they cut off his ear and lost it, and then they went back and got another one. The other one, they just cut off his ear, and everything was fine, I guess. They didn't lose that ear. So they cut off his ear. This is the one where they cut off his ear, lost the ear, came back, and cut off the other ear. Rosier says he and another Yahweh were ordered to pick a white victim at random to avenge the death of a black man. The victim, quote, just happened to be there. The sect leader, quote, always taught that we keep the law against the devils, the white devils, Rosier testified. Quote, when they kill one of us, we kill one of them. He teaches that since white people believe that all black people look alike, we believe all white people look alike. So, again, it's obviously being directed by Yahweh ben Yahweh, these killings. This is the news report from those first two guys, the black guys that just talked shit about them. This is what got them killed.
That's Anthony Brown hurling insults at the Yahwehs yesterday. Brown's body was found in a pool of blood in a driveway at the complex just after midnight. That is Rudy Broussard, also vocal in his denunciations of the Yahwehs yesterday. Broussard was found shot two blocks away from his apartment building. He died in the hospital soon after. Building residents who were getting county help in finding other lodgings this morning are convinced that Broussard and Brown paid for their outspokenness about the Yahwehs, a religious sect often accused in the past of violence.
I believe that's why everybody think that they did do it, because they've been known to do things like that after they take off the white.
Some who claim to have witnessed the killings would not talk on camera. They're concerned they might be targets. Rudy Broussard's sister, who had talked freely with us over the last couple of days, was infuriated by the camera's presence this morning. Others say the violence may not be over. Greg Neal says he was Anthony Brown's cousin.
But ain't nobody did that killing but them Yahwehs. That's all did it. And I think from here on, it's going to be a whole lot of stuff, man.
A whole lot of stuff like revenge?
I think so. A lot of people are going to get hurt.
So the tears may not be over. But the city is hoping to lessen the chance of further violence here by forcing tenants to move. Condemnation notices put up this morning give residents 48 hours to get out.
Structure being unsafe. That's the legal reason for doing it.
But it has a good byproduct that will get people out of a tense situation.
Very good byproduct.
There's a seat down there.
So the city steps in and starts relocating all the people because they don't want them to get murdered. The other thing that's crazy is not a lot of news coverage when it came to the white victims. They had news stories. Maybe there was at the time. I just can't find it now. There is newspaper articles talking about the white victims, but I couldn't find any video news coverage of the white victims, which there were more of. Also, on September 20th, so this is just a few weeks after Raymond Kelly, the one that they chopped the ear off, and then they had to go back and chop his other ear off, Cecil Branch was a garbage man. Four men, three in turbans, approached Branch's house. Witnesses testified the killer stabbed him 25 times, severed the top of his right ear. The ear was missing from the crime scene. The landlord, a cop, found Branch's body bound and gagged in his house. Before the murder, Branch had confronted the Yahweh soliciting donations, witness testified. He pushed a Yahweh who became hysterical and wrote down his license plate, and other devotees started screaming, Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh at him. Three Yahweh men, a state prosecutor called them the Bone Crushers, showed up briefly. Later, Branch chased the Yahweh away from his home. So there were Yahwehs soliciting in front of his house. He told him to get lost, and then the Bone Crushers showed up and beat him and tortured him and cut his ear off and killed him. Literally just a few days later, October 1st, 1986, Harry Byers, 68, who was just a drunk, he was just a homeless drunk, was stabbed to death, and they chopped off his left ear. A cop that was exercising his police dog found the body in a park at Legion, or I guess Legion Park in Biscogne, or Biscon, I don't know how to say that, Boulevard. And then just a few days later after that, October 10th, Ronaldo Echevarria was stabbed to death near Northwest 103rd Street and 30th Avenue. And this was by, again, this is all part of initiation, right? So it's different Yahwehs doing this sort of thing. By Brian K. Lewis, also known as Hezion Israel. They all took, that was part of the initiation too. You got rid of your last name and changed your last name to Israel. The Dade State Attorney's Office decided not to file charges after Lewis claimed that it was self-defense. So they didn't, anyway. So this was all going on. The police finally arrested Rozier, I'm not sure how you would pronounce it. He gets arrested in, I believe, around October, well, right around, there was another murder, I forgot. So, on October 30th, Rudy Broussard, who was 37, and Anthony Brown, 28, were both tenants, this is the guys we just played. Those were the two guys that were complaining that the Yahwehs were taking over their tenant building. And so after that those two murders, that's when the cops finally arrested this guy here. Here's the news report for that.
6 o'clock hour of News Center 7.
Good evening. The Opa-locka apartment complex, caught in the middle of a tense takeover by a black religious sect, is now the scene of a murder investigation.
Two men were shot to death early this morning at the complex, taken over by Yahwehs. News Center 7's Brian Cabell is standing by live at the apartments right now. Brian, you say the police aren't saying much about the investigation?
Well, they haven't been up until about 45 minutes ago, Peter, but just about quarter after five, they finally released the information they had been withholding all day. They have made an arrest in the case. He is 33-year-old Robert Rozier, also known as Neriah Israel. He is a member of the Yahweh sect. They have charged him with first-degree murder in one of the cases. They will not say which one. In the meantime, police are hoping that these apartments will be quiet for a change tonight. There will be no one staying overnight here. Some of the people have been coming by all day long, taking out their furniture, taking out their clothes. The Yahwehs themselves, who own this building, will not be coming by at all. They haven't been here at all today. About 3 o'clock this afternoon, a circuit court judge gave the defendants an injunction, and have agreed to not let the Yahwehs move in immediately. Earlier this morning, the Opa-locka City Commission condemned the building, said it's unfit for human habitation. So the Yahwehs have quite a few problems on their hands this evening. All of this after a most tragic 24 hours of experience this evening.
Back out.
Residents had to make their way past police lines this morning to claim their possessions from the apartments that had been their homes just yesterday. Most had moved with their children into a senior citizen center about a mile away. Many claim to be frightened.
You don't want to go back there?
No, I definitely don't want to go back there. I'm very afraid because I have my mother. She's a senior citizen and we can't run that fast.
None here actually saw this morning's shootings, but most believe the Yahwehs were responsible. And one claimed there were eyewitnesses.
They saw the guy. They saw the Yahwehs harassing the Broussard, and the guy told him if he say anything, he would get him.
The shootings occurred shortly after midnight this morning. Police questioned several witnesses, including the Yahwehs, but arrested no one for murder. A sister of one of the victims was certain the Yahwehs had killed him.
They were the only ones out there.
They being?
Yahweh. They was the only ones out here on post. They don't know. And I ran to them and asked them what happened. They don't know that some guys shot and ran.
The field where her brother was killed was being thoroughly searched by police this morning. No leads apparently emerged. The other dead man had been interviewed by News Center 7 yesterday. This while a few dozen Yahwehs were moving furniture from the ramshackle apartments and cleaning the premises. At that time, the victim, Anthony Brown, was adamantly refusing to move.
He ain't show me no paper showing that he owned these buildings. He ain't show me no eviction notice or nothing. I ain't going nowhere.
And of course, this evening, Anthony Brown and Rudy Broussard, the other murder victim, they are dead today. Police, in the meantime, are keeping a close watch on this situation. They are hoping there will be no retaliation all day long. We've been talking to residents around here. They have been hinting at retaliation.
See, wasn't it nicer when the black people had to have permission slips just to go through town? Like, just 25 years, I guess, prior to this. This is 1986. I suspect that that news report we watched in the beginning was from 1987, and that's because now that all this was getting out, the Jewish lawyer, and yes, I'm not making that up, a Jewish lawyer hired by, like, the real Jew, like like an actual Jew, hired by Yahweh Ben Yahweh, suggested that unless he wanted to lose his empire, he was going to have to do a media blitz. He was going to have to start doing damage control. Because people were already starting to think, accurately, that the Yahweh cult was a group of murdering blacks that hated white people. And would also kill other blacks if they got in the way of whatever they wanted to do. And that they were getting a little out of hand. And they were now starting to get too much attention. And so he was going to have to start doing media interviews and start saying, oh, no, we don't really hate Whitey and all this kind of a thing. Farrakhan, believe it or not, came in and did some photo ops with him to try to make him seem like he was a legitimate black leader. This is a interview he did on television. This was, I believe, the first big interview he did. And this is from February 1st, 1987. So this is after the arrest of, his top enforcer. And he knows that his top enforcer is possibly going to talk, even though they hired another Jewish lawyer to work the case of his top enforcer. So the Yahweh group was paying for the lawyer of this guy, and they were hoping that they could get him off because of lack of evidence and because they were intimidating all the witnesses. So here's Yahweh Ben Yahweh on White People TV. And of course, White People TV, as it often does, even when it has a white anchor, they have to make, if they're going to talk to a black person in any way at all that could be considered controversial, they have to pack the room with as many black people as they possibly can. In this case, the two reporters, I think, that worked for the organization, that they just to report on the Yahweh group, they had to have a black guy because otherwise you'd be called a racist. You know, you can't have a white guy talk about the black people killing white people. You got to have a black person doing it. And so that's the scenario here.
Good morning. Welcome again to Newswatch. I'm Michael Putney. The Yahwehs, are they a dangerous, racist cult or a genuine religion deserving of every constitutional protection? Our community has been asking that question in recent months. This morning, we're going to ask the group's founder and leader, Moses Israel, Yahweh Ben Yahweh. He was born 52 years ago in Enid, Oklahoma, and raised in the fundamentalist Pentecostal church.
Our attorney, Ellis Rubin, suggested to us that we become open to allow the press, the community at large, to understand exactly what we're about.
Oy vey! Their attorney Ellis Rubin, who you will see here in a moment, has urged him to do the media tour.
Yahweh Ben Yahweh, your early pamphlets, the early things that you passed around Liberty City, where I happen to live, spoke only to the white devil, that person of that color who seemed to be doing wrong against black people. I know that you have spoken against some black people as they have abused the black race, but those early pamphlets, those early etchings that we saw on the walls out in Liberty City spoke of the white devil. Don't you think that's where that misconception, as you call it, came from?
Well, that's entirely possible, because the issue of black and white and the skin color game is not something that I invented or created. It's something that exists in this country, and I've had to address it. For example, there's an issue here that I think most of the people may be aware of. Here is an image that is a false image. And of course, my coming to America to reach and resurrect my people is to dispel this notion of a false image of the Son of God. It's quite apparent that my color...
The false image is the color. Is that what you're referring to?
Exactly. By this color being promoted as the Son of God and being a false image, then this causes my people to have the notion that white people are supreme, they are superior, they are God, and they have a tendency to worship them as God. And I'm here to dispel that notion.
Yet hasn't the call against that color, against the white color, hasn't that been the call that has brought most of your people, especially in the early days, into the Yahweh faith?
It was necessary. When you come to a mentally and spiritually dead people who have been robbed of the knowledge of their God, history, culture, language, name, land, it requires a great, great deal of dexterity to reach into the grave of such a people and resurrect them and lift them up. No one has ever been able to do this but me. I'm the only one.
You are speaking, if I may say so, as if you are the Messiah. Do you believe that you are the Son of God?
I am, in fact, Yahweh ben Yahweh in Hebrew. That means God, the Son of God in the flesh. I am the Messiah that the whole world is looking for.
So he, you know, at least he doesn't change his tune about that. Much to the chagrin of his Jewish lawyer, I think.
Now, let me read you something that you allegedly said. The Miami Herald reported that you had said, and I'm quoting, "Yahweh gave our white enemies 6,000 years to rule good or bad. Their history proves them evil, wicked, liars, and murderers. This white man and his tricks must be removed." What, if not hatred, is that, if that's accurate?
All right, first of all, I have to say again that it's impossible for me to teach my followers and disciples hatred. You will find that by attracting this group with a statement like that, and then to see my results, the last 7 years of results of my people, my disciples, among the society in general, you'll find is pure peace. We get along amicably with all nations, all races, including white people.
Except for when you're telling your shock troops to go and kill them at random and bring back body parts as a trophy and proof that you have indeed killed a white person, something that he was well aware of at this point and was very nervous about, because I think the death, at least the known death toll around this time, was around 16. And it's probably more than that.
People who I've known who have been Christians, so to speak, or people who have been out among the normal people who have become Yahwehs. We had an example right here at Channel 4. A gentleman who was quiet, unassuming, a large man, who all of a sudden, when he went into the Yahwehs, became a vicious person, literally. This was a brother of mine. He became a vicious person. He scared me. I didn't feel that he was attacking me, but he did scare and intimidate, begin to intimidate white people in this company, and I'm sure out on the streets. It seems that you are taking the oppression that is within all of us who have this black skin and using it to further the Yahweh cause. By that example, you said that by the example that it's not there. I have seen it.
So they have I guess the house nigga do all the grilling. But I thought this was particularly funny. When they go to break after after all of this, all these revelations about how he thinks he's the son of God, and he's not really coming up with good rebuttals to the fact that he has passed out all this literature talking about the white devil, and that a lot of his a lot of these people that are associated with his group openly hate white people, including, I guess, someone that worked at this local TV station. So they go to break, and before it fades to black, you literally see the Jew lawyer run up to go tell him what to say. There he goes. All right, Yahweh. Here's what you're doing. You're doing it all wrong. So he comes sneaking on in to talk to him. Anyway, he kept doing these kinds of these interviews. Here's another interview he did. And he starts trying to act like he's just this innocent businessman and starts advertising his businesses like, oh, yeah, no, like we're just normal. We have like these grocery stores and these hotels and stuff. I don't know anything about any murdering random people.
It's the man who claims to be the son of God like you've never seen him before.
When you go to our grocery store, they're already everyday low prices. Unbelievable. The best for less.
Yahweh Ben Yahweh doesn't have his own show yet, but after agreeing to just a handful of interviews in the 70s and early 80s, he's talking to the press, selling groceries and hotel rooms, and acting every bit like a recent graduate from charm school.
So you will observe us getting to be high profile in business.
Where is it written, though, that Yahweh does television commercials?
Well, at the time the Bible was written, I don't think you had TV. So that's a rather recent invention. So Yahweh is a right now God.
The mystique has been cracked open, not by the media, not by outsiders, but by the Yahwehs themselves.
But plenty of mystery remains. Yahweh member Robert Rozier is accused of four sect-related murders, and his July trial is likely to get a lot of TV time. Delray Beach police still suspect Yahweh members in connection with a firebombing last year, and murders of two Yahwehs shortly after they left the sect in 1981 remain unsolved. For now, though, the past has been buried in grocery discount coupons.
And next month, we plan to increase it to give away a grand cash prize of $32,000 in coupons.
If the public buys this new image they are pitching, and it's definitely a PR pitch, then in fact they have changed their image. I don't know if it's reality, but if the public's perception is that this is the Yahweh's, then it becomes reality.
And again, all the instruction of the Jewish lawyer that, you know, you need to change your image. You're going to get crucified out there. You got people finding out that you want to murder white people. In fact, it worked to some extent. This is the mayor. This is the mayor of Miami, who was there for the opening of one of the stores. And this is after all the murders. This is after all the murders. The investigation's ongoing. The FBI is now involved, by the way. The FBI has something like 100 agents researching these murders and just some of the other fraud that was going on. There was welfare fraud going on. There was racketeering going on. I mean, this, you know, and yet the mayor shows up for the opening of one of the grocery stores. And in fact, literally just a month before Yahweh Ben Yahweh gets his indictment, because, you know, spoiler alert, he gets indicted. 1 month, on October 7th, 1990, Mayor Xavier Serez declared it Yahweh Ben Yahweh Day. The mayor declared Yahweh Ben Yahweh Day for the mass murdering Negro cult leader. And the image stuff was working, because I was going to play this clip, but the audio is so bad. Like, it's so bad. Like, it's hard to even understand what they're saying. But this was a clip around that same time period. Another news station, Channel 7, I guess, was talking about how they were taking over another motel, and how it was a fluff piece. It was a fluff piece about how they were cleaning up some cracked den style hotel, and they were going to make it so, you know, you couldn't, this is before smoking laws, but it was going to be a non-smoking hotel. And in fact, you had to They wouldn't let you stay there with a person of the opposite sex unless that you could prove you were married, and make it sound like it was this big wholesome thing that they were doing, that these wholesome black people were cleaning up. They were finally cleaning up the ghetto. And it's just like, this is after all the murders. This is after the arrest of the head of security, where they know for a fact that he has murdered at least four people, probably more. And the group generally has murdered around 16 people or so. And the police are investigating this, but the beat cops are taken in with it too. Apparently, according to this news report, again, the audio is really bad, but I'm paraphrasing, but this reporter here, was the way he closed out his news piece, is he said that a cop pulled up and said, "Well, I'm glad that the Yahwehs are taking over there, because it'll keep the crime down." It's like, really? Like, how do you not know? You're a fucking local cop. You know, you should, even if you're not part of the homicide division, like, you got to at least be aware this kind of shit's going on. I guess afraid of being called a racist. So here's a news report from July 9th, 1987.
The bad old days at the Saxon Park Apartments. Cops looking for crack cocaine were regular guests.
If you couldn't make five arrests here a day, it was a bad day.
But on this day, Officer Ted Caracciolo watched the Yahwehs roll up, move in, and clean out the apartments here.
And the Yahwehs say when they're done fixing the place up, it won't just house Yahwehs, but they won't just rent to anyone either.
We will have a very carefully screened application form that will determine people who are free from drugs and free from alcoholism.
Tenants had been moved out before the Yahwehs began their work, though church officials are hazy on just how the evictions were done. But they clearly wanted to avoid scenes like this last fall, when the Yahwehs bought and then surrounded a drug-ridden Opa-locka complex. Residents jeered and complained of intimidation. Two of the loudest complainers were found shot dead the next morning. A Yahweh member, since cut off from the church, was charged with the killings. But Yahwehs who used to be secretive now invite the media along to show off their good works. They offer before and after pictures of urban renewal Yahweh style.
Wall-to-wall carpet, and if you would follow me into the master bedroom.
These units, just renovated by the Yahwehs, will be rented, fully furnished, for $500 a month. Pretty pricey for this Liberty City neighborhood, but it is making converts here.
When they first came, honestly, I say, Yahweh, go home, Yahweh, you know, you go your way, I go my way.
But now,
I love them. Why not? Because they're really fixing it up nice, right?
And cops, usually suspicious of the Yahwehs, are happy to see the work at Saxon Park.
It's 100% turnaround so far.
Nick Bogert, News 4.
So they got a new image. They got a new image going on. They also did this broadcast where they officially decided to disown and excommunicate the guy who was arrested for the murders. Is a way of distancing themselves from the murders. So here he is doing this broadcast.
Robert Rozier has now proven that he is among the many black devils that have come among us pretending to believe in Yahweh, the God of Israel, the God of the Bible, the God of the righteous, and then sought to destroy the work of Yahweh and his moral teachings, which is the solution to all of the world's problems.
So definitely he was a black devil. He was a black devil. I'm going to cross his name out of our membership list, and there you go. And case closed, right, guys? Right? Everything's fine. So there he is, being, I think, moved.
This is ridiculous. What channel is this?
Rozier asked the undercover officer to provide him with a 9mm semi-automatic Glock pistol, as well as a sweatsuit and sneakers to aid in his escape.
Which way, sir?
All right, so they move him to another prison, I think, as he was trying to escape prison and talk to an undercover cop. He then spills the beans. He then decides, because he wants to get, he doesn't want to get the electric chair, which I think they still had in Florida. They still had capital murder back then. Or maybe they still do. I'm not positive. Florida's, you know, a wonky state, so you never know what to expect from Florida. So he finally starts talking to the cops and telling them about not just the two murders that he's in there for, but also these other murders, these trophy murders of white people, the murder in New Jersey, the murder that the murders of the ex-members that went against Yahweh Ben Yahweh. And that's when the Yahweh Ben Yahweh group stops paying for his Jewish lawyer, and they go in full-on defense mode. And Yahweh Ben Yahweh flees to, I think, New Orleans. I think he went to New Orleans because it's a chocolate city. You know, this would have been 90, this would have been like 80, it was probably 89, 90. And they finally extradite him from New Orleans back to Miami, to press charges against him for racketeering, conspiring to commit murder, and a laundry list of other charges with the help of the testimony from his bodyguard.
Along with an escort of federal marshals, a brown van carried Yahweh Ben Yahweh to the Metropolitan Correctional Center in South Dade. He was arrested last week in New Orleans and charged with conspiracy and giving the orders to kill 14 people. Along with Ben Yahweh, three others were also moved to the facility. James Littlejohn, James Lewis Mack, and Brian Lewis were arrested in Lafayette, Louisiana. Allegedly, they carried out the orders given by Yahweh Ben Yahweh.
Now that he's been returned, can we just appreciate the dysgenics here? Can we just appreciate the genetic mishaps that had to have repeatedly occurred generation after generation to produce, especially the guy in the middle? See, this is why these people needed to be given a story to explain why they were losers. To explain why they were never going to succeed in a white society. They had to be told that it was because of the white devil.
Lafayette, Louisiana. Allegedly, they carried out the orders given by Yahweh Ben Yahweh.
Now that he's been returned to South Florida, the unanswered question is whether or not Yahweh Ben Yahweh should be allowed on a bond. His attorney says yes.
Ellis Rubin called reporters to his office this afternoon and...
There's the Jewish lawyer.
Blasted the government's potential key witness, Robert Rozier.
I'm not bawling you out. I have no right to do that. I'm just curious as to, with all of this press attention, why not one organization has taken it upon themselves to say, hey, who's making the accusation? What's his background? What's his credibility? Yahweh Ben Yahweh has credibility. He has no criminal record. He's done good work in this area.
South Florida authorities are also awaiting the return of the second in charge of the Yahwehs, Judith Israel, who was also charged with conspiracy and extortion. In Miami, Mel Taylor, Channel 10.
That's what the Jews decided to do. They decided the best tactic was to attack the credibility of the murderer. It's like, well, of course, the guy doing the murders for your organization is a murderer. What did you expect? Oh, you're gonna trust a murderer? Well, we have to if he's the one doing all the murdering for you. So that's the tactic that the Jewish lawyers take to try to make it sound like, oh no, Yahweh Ben Yahweh, he's this nice guy that you've been seeing on TV, talking about coupons and shit and cleaning out all these apartment buildings. Well, didn't two people get murdered? Oh, that was a long time ago. That was like 5 years. Look at this new news report where they're inviting you in to see the nice fancy shitty ghetto apartment.
FBI!
In the pre-dawn darkness, SWAT teams moved in before any of the Yahwehs were even awake. Police ringed the massive Temple of Love in Liberty City as another SWAT team went through the front door. The Yahweh's leader, who claims to be the son of God, Yahweh Ben Yahweh, was arrested in New Orleans, giving up without a struggle. In all, 13 group members and former members were charged. Yahweh members who all use the last name Israel describe what happened.
Our people were lying down on the floor like a bunch of criminals with shotguns up against their faces and heads.
The charges against the group date from the early 1980s and involve more than a dozen murders and firebombings of a number of homes in Delray Beach. Among the killings were two tenants of this Opa-locka apartment complex who were shot to death in 1986 after publicly criticizing the Yahwehs, who were trying to evict them from the building. This former Yahweh, Robert Rozier, was convicted of those two killings and is now cooperating with authorities. He's expected to be the chief witness against the Yahwehs. Rozier himself is expected to detail killings allegedly ordered by Yahweh Ben Yahweh himself.
The identification or orders to go out to an find an individual and murder him and bring back a body part, usually an ear, to demonstrate that that had been done.
In recent years, the Yahwehs have won plaudits for their efforts to revitalize Miami businesses and neighborhoods. Mayor Xavier Suarez even appeared with Yahweh Ben Yahweh at the opening of a Yahweh supermarket. Yahweh Ben Yahweh's attorney, Ellis Rubin, calls today's arrests persecution.
They decided that the election was over.
They're persecuting us.
A few hours, so it's time for another grandstand play by Mr. Leighton. And so the FBI swooped in the middle of the night, like they were common criminals.
Because they're common criminals. Or really uncommon criminals, really. They're worse than common criminals. So this guy testified against them, and eventually they were able to get a few of the convictions.
Robert Rozier was sentenced to 22 years in prison after pleading guilty to the second-degree murders of four people. Now his testimony might send Yahweh Ben Yahweh to jail. Yahweh and 15 others are on trial, charged with racketeering and conspiracy. This morning, Rozier testified it was Yahweh who gave the signal to kill two residents of an Opa-locka apartment building. Rozier says he was there when Rudy Broussard and Anthony Brown were shot to death. He says he got the keys for the getaway car from defendant Judith Israel. Defense attorneys have labeled Rozier a liar. They say what matters now is whether the jury believes him.
He's the one that ties together, supposedly, a number of murders that they don't have any other witnesses for. So if that's what they mean by key, yeah, he's key.
Hey, look, another Jew. Another Jewish lawyer. So he gets convicted, not of all charges. He got convicted of, let's see here, I think I have a list here. Yahweh, he's found guilty of conspiracy and sentenced to 18 years. And seven of the followers got life sentences. They had like 14 people were arrested when they did their FBI raid. Now, it's funny because, again, like, this is kind of like a big deal. This is like a big story. There's no movie about this. There's no made-for-TV movie about this. This is a very interesting story with lots of twists and turns, you know? Like, everyone, for some reason, knows who David Koresh is, but no one knows who Yahweh Ben Yahweh is. And Yahweh Ben Yahweh is literally going on national, well, not even national television, because they won't cover it nationally, but at least local television. He's on video claiming he's the son of God, and that he is God, and that he controls nature. And he's having people killed. And they're not just killing people, they're cutting body parts off and bringing them back as trophies. And yet there's no big story. There's no big story, right? You have the Branch Davidians in Waco, Texas, around this same time period. They're modifying a shotgun at the request of an undercover ATF agent, and they deserve to be burned alive, right? That they send in the tanks. Send in the tanks. An undercover, or no, that wasn't the shotgun, was the Ruby Ridge guy. Maybe they modified a gun to be fully automatic or something like that, but it was the same sort of thing. Some undercover ATF agent asked him to modify a gun, make it illegal, and send in the tanks, and let's burn a whole compound full of children alive. Let's kill them all. But you have a black multimillionaire who owns properties all over the city, who's putting hits out on people, who is having his soldiers go out and kill random white people and bring back trophies, cutting their ears off, cutting their fingers off, and the mayor is showing up to the opening of his new grocery store. The mayor, a month before his indictment, is declaring it Yahweh Ben Yahweh Day. And no one ever hears about this. And it's by funny coincidence that when searching, scouring the internet for different clips about this, I found a clip of one man who was screaming into the void about this, a man that we all know, Jared Taylor, on C-SPAN, with nobody watching, unfortunately. Jared Taylor, looking much younger, saying the exact same thing. Jared Taylor saying, why is no one talking about this crazy black cult that's murdering white people at random and bringing back body parts? How is there no press coverage of this? Here he is on C-SPAN. I don't have the exact date on this, but I would imagine it's around 1990.
Papers and watch the news on TV, and one sees that most interracial crimes are committed by blacks against whites.
Well, to some extent that's true. On the other hand, I think that certainly the press in the United States is very, very concerned about not perpetuating negative stereotypes. And I think that this concern goes too far. There is a concern that unflattering news about non-whites not be given much treatment. I'll give you an example that has nothing to do with crime. The fact that there is very, very persuasive documentation that Martin Luther King plagiarized his doctor's thesis. This news was very carefully suppressed for quite a long time. It finally came out in a way that could not be denied, and there's actually quite an interesting book written on the subject that never got reviewed anywhere. On the other hand, the possibility that Thomas Jefferson had an affair with his black slave Sally Hemings, that, of course, is first page news, front page news. The fact that Martin Luther King may have been a plagiarist, that makes people uncomfortable. The fact that the third president may have been a hypocrite and slept with a woman from a race in which he had noted objections to. That, of course, is a free game, very interesting, first page news. I'll give you another example. This is a criminal example. At the time of the first trial of the police who beat Rodney King, while this trial was front page news, there was another trial going on in Miami. It was the trial of a gentleman by the name of Hulan Mitchell. I doubt any of you in here know this name. He went by the name of Yahweh Ben Yahweh, and he was the leader of a black sect based primarily on hatred of whites. To be a full-fledged member, you had to kill a white man. To prove that you had killed your white man, you had to present Mr. Mitchell with a finger or an ear that was cut off the cadaver. This trial was going on at exactly the same time. And the fact that probably none of you in this room know a thing about it goes to show you the kind of coverage it got. Well, reverse this situation. Imagine a group of whites murdering and mutilating blacks. You would get the kind of coverage that the Jasper killing quite appropriately got. But I think we cannot have double standards in this respect. And the fact that, as you say, if you look at the television, you get the impression, you certainly get the impression that there is an overwhelming amount of black crime. Well, this is something people are uncomfortable talking about. And the kinds of statistics that I've just presented to you today are the kind that you are almost certainly unlikely to find mentioned the way they are mentioned in this report in any public way. Yes, sir.
Tell us a little bit more about your organization. Are you liberal, conservative? Do you have a website? Do you have a mission statement?
New Century Foundation. I beg your pardon?
Go ahead.
New Century Foundation does not have a website. As I said before, we were founded.
So, anyway, I just thought that was hilarious that in trying to find clips of this, up pops Jared Taylor, the one man in America that was in the 90s going, What about this guy? What about this guy in Florida? What about this guy in Florida chopping off white people's ears and fingers? What the fuck? But no one else is talking about it. No one else is talking about it. I'd never fucking heard of this story. Like I said, when AI told me about it, I thought I was making shit up. I thought I was just completely making it up. And so he gets sentenced to 18 years. He doesn't do the full sentence. He gets off with good behavior back in the 2001. But before he gets out, there was campaigns because he was a multimillionaire. He had money. They were producing all this propaganda, claiming that he was innocent. I guess in some way it was like the Jewish Proto Innocence Project, right? Where they were saying that he was framed by the federal government, and they didn't give him this evidence. Like, here, I found this little clip. Most of the clips of this is just some black person, pointing their camera at a TV. So like the quality is so shit, you can't even really tell what's going on. With this, you could at least hear what she was saying. But it's the same fucking shit. It's the same shit. Black people never do anything wrong. It's all the white people up against them.
Recently uncovered evidence suppressed by the federal government clearly shows that Yahweh ben Yahweh is innocent. This is another example of the systemic racism and corruption within the criminal justice system. Like Yahweh ben Yahweh, there are many cases of innocent black men and community leaders who were targeted for persecution and prosecution by the government. The media has isolated these cases, refused to disclose all the facts, continues to distort the truth, and misleads public opinion. Therefore, the public is unaware of the systematic pattern of racism and corruption within the criminal justice system. The case of Yahweh ben Yahweh of Miami, Florida, is linked to the cases of Geronimo Pratt of California.
So it's like the opposite of reality. No one even knows who the fuck Yahweh ben Yahweh is, and everyone's heard about systemic racism in the system. So it's a complete opposite of reality, what she's saying. And that's the world that these black people fucking live in. That's the imagination land that they all fucking live in. And then the icing on the cake. You're going to love this one. This is the cherry on top of tonight's stream. This is the cherry on top of tonight's stream. This is no one's going to be expecting this. I'd like to draw your attention to the black man standing behind Trump. Holding a sign that says Blacks for Trump. This guy holding the sign behind Trump, who was at several rallies during the 2020 campaign, part of the Blacks for Trump movement. Lots of boomers, they loved sharing those pictures. Oh, look at these base black people. They love the blacks. They love Trump. That man's name is Maurice Woodside, a.k.a. Michael the Black Man. He was one of the 16 members of the Nation of Yahweh who were arrested and charged with murder in 1990. In fact, he has now become a political activist where his major message is that, wait for it, the Democrats are the real racists. The Democrats are the real Nazis. And no, I'm not making that up. You can look it up if you want. Maurice Woodside, a.k.a. Michael the Black Man. There's even a Wikipedia page about this. In fact, I think there was a news report about it at some point. But yeah, he followed Trump around. They put him right behind Trump, holding up his Blacks for Trump sign because they wanted to show you that they, oh, look, we got black guys. We got a base black guys. Yeah. Yeah, you do. I guess you do. So that was the, like I said, that's the cherry on top of tonight's tree. Oh boy. Well, it makes sense, right? Florida. You know, Trump's got a big presence in Florida. But yeah, he still thinks that you know, there's white devils. I guess they're all just Democrats now. All right. And with that, we're going to take a look at Hyper Chats, or I guess Entropy Super Fun Chats. All right. I never know what order these are supposed to go in, so I'm going to do what I think we're supposed to do here. Shrunken Heads Expert says, hey, Devin, long-time listener, first-time caller. Have you ever considered doing a show when you only take donations of more than $100 to play clips of up to 15 minutes and give your opinion on the video, no prep required? No, I don't know that would go over well, but up to 15 minutes? Are you kidding me? No, I'm not. No, I wouldn't go up to 15. If I was going to do something like that, I would maybe say 3. I don't think you realize that's an eternity. 15 minutes is an eternity. I come from the broadcast world, and an entire commercial is 30 seconds. And we used to do entire news updates for all the news of the entire day throughout the morning, and each news update was 2 minutes and 30 seconds. And you want to do 15 minutes? And I know that I have long strings, but man, that would never end. But also I don't really feel like being a jukebox either, but who knows? Maybe if I didn't prepare anything, give me money and I'll play your links. But yeah, probably not. Gorilla Hands. That was loud. Turn these down a little bit. Gorilla Hands, everyone, including myself, seems to think our dystopian future is going to resemble the Matrix or Terminator. I'm starting to realize that our society may be similar to the one in Demolition Man. A lot of similarities with that movie, one of them being a nanny state and also fake food, also how their society is two-tiered. That's the one with Stallone and, yeah. Well, I mean, like, that's one of the very few Hollywood movies where the criminal is a black guy. I guess that part's accurate. I mean, I don't know. I always thought it was kind of a campy, cheesy movie. I guess it's one of those movies that, when it comes out, it's really kind of, It lacked. I don't want to say it lacked production value, but it kind of did too. Like it didn't like the special effects were kind of meh, the costumes were kind of meh. But it's like one of those things that because it definitely has like some '90s camp to it, like that people like, you know, that are nostalgic for the '90s, they kind of like that. I'd have to watch it again, though, because I've heard other people bring up Demolition Man, and I'm always surprised, because I saw it when it was new, and all I could think of was, like, I hate this fucking movie. It just seems, like, bad. But, I'd have to watch it again. Maybe. I mean, the only thing I really remember about it is, because that was the other thing too, it was a bad movie, and it had like one good joke. It wasn't even that good. It was some joke about like Taco Bell owned everything or something like that. I don't know. I'm trying to remember. There's not a whole lot of memorable moments about that movie. And like sex was really sterile or something. Like they, I'm vaguely remembering something about that. I don't know. Maybe I could pop it in sometime when I'm doing some work. That's what I was doing the last couple days, actually, when I was trying to fix my computer, as I was playing some old movies on a screen in the corner. So maybe I'll load that into my playlist when I'm installing the air conditioner, which increasingly is becoming an urgent thing that needs to happen. thank you very much, Gorilla Hands. And then Gorilla Hands again simply says,
faggots!
Then we got Throwaway 99. Throwaway 99 simply says, fuck, cuck, Negro Nazis. So I'm going to be trying to be a little decorum-ish. I guess I could say nigger, whatever, it doesn't matter. I'm guessing that's in reference to the Kanye song. Yeah, I mean, look, it's just bad. It's funny to me that how many people have like a lot of hopes wrapped up in that for some reason. I don't get it. And it's like, you don't believe in outsourcing stuff to India, but apparently you like outsourcing stuff to a schizophrenic black guy that is also a cuck drug addict. And that's how he opens the song. Like, look, if he was just a cuck drug addict and didn't mention that in the song, that's one thing. But to open your song with that, it's, I already said, like it's like making a meal and then taking a shit on the plate. It's like, okay, well, I'm not going to eat that. And, I look, just me personally, even when I was in my Uyghur years, listening to, you know, Big L and Wu-Tang and all that stuff, I always thought Kanye was like the, you know, Taylor Swift of rappers. It was just garbage pop rap for fucking, you know, white girls. But, you know, I don't know, to each of their own. Brody says, thanks for the content, Devin. I look forward to it. Have you ever communicated with Stefan Molyneux? He used to make such great content. I've never talked to him. I don't think that he would have ever had me on his show because I am racist. And the reason why he disappeared is at a critical moment during the great noticing that was happening a couple years ago. In fact, partially ushered in by him and his work on race and IQ, and making that information accessible to people, including myself. It was odd because it's like he created a monster that I don't think that he understood that the Jewish thing would come up the way that it did, and that freaked him out. I don't know. I don't want to. You know, he's never said, but the way it looked was the second the Jewish question was asked of him, he kind of did like a Jordan Peterson thing. You know, when Jordan Peterson was asked about the Jewish question early on in his career, same sort of a thing, right? He punted. He said, well, I can't answer that. And Molyneux didn't say it quite like that, but you could tell he was uncomfortable talking about it and sort of avoided it and avoided interacting with anyone he thought would talk about it in any kind of serious way. JF was one of them. JF was trying to get him to talk about the Jewish question with him in a very academic way that would have been, I think, a perfectly reasonable forum for Molyneux to engage in, and he avoided it. And everyone noticed, and that's what happened to his career. And then he got banned from Twitter, and that getting knocked out of the mainstream platforms like Twitter and YouTube made it so he was now only competing with people who would engage with that stuff. Because once you're swimming in the pool where all the Nazis are, you know, like all the people that already got banned and were already forced in the alternative platforms, you don't really stand out anymore. I mean, you might be edgy for YouTube or edgy for 2018 Twitter or whatever, right? But if you're being relegated to the same parts of the internet where people who aren't afraid to talk about anything are, and because they're on these platforms where you can talk about anything, it's not real easy to compete in that marketplace of ideas. And I think that's kind of what happened. And look, I credit him, and I have several times in the past with providing some crucial insights that I needed in order to really fully grasp the race and IQ issue. Coming from a libertarian background, as I think many of us did, he was really easy to relate to. But that was the other aspect of why he, I think, lost momentum too, is that he clung to the libertarianism. He showed signs of wanting to move past some of those principles, but again, it just seemed like an unserious threat, right? That there was always like he was always mentioning something like, oh, you know, like this libertarianism stuff won't work. I'm not even paraphrasing. I'm trying to think of like an example. I remember seeing clips of him saying stuff along the lines of like, you know, the time for arguments is over, and like that. There was that clip that went around, and yeah, it's the kind of thing where it's like, you gotta keep going with it, like. When we're finally getting some kind of movement, we're actually finally starting to change minds of white people that are being genocided, and you can't, it's not the time to get timid, and I feel like that's kind of what he did. And he's got a family, and I'm assuming he has lots of Bitcoin money, because I think he was one of those people that got into Bitcoin really early on. I don't know if he sold it before he could have made his money or whatever, but you know, he's got a wife and kid, and he's getting older, and so maybe he just thought it was, I don't know, it's not like it's less work, because I think he still puts stuff out, you know, he still puts stuff out, and just no one's watching it, because it's, you know, it's outdated, it's like, you know, I'm not that you should always be changing your worldview to match whatever's in style. That's not my point, but it should match the natural evolution of things, right? We should all evolve as people. I was libertarian because under certain circumstances, the libertarian thing sounds like it would work. But then as you become more aware of how the world actually is and less how you want it to be, you know, less looking at it as you'd like the world to be, which, again, is interesting to me because he's one of the people that showed me that the world wasn't the way that I wanted it to be. And so it's odd to me that he doesn't continue. There's rumors about him being Jewish or part Jewish, and maybe there's that kind of thing going on. I don't know. I know he has said that he's part Jewish. I don't know if he has said that because he's later sort of recanted, saying like his grandma was raised by Jews, or I don't remember what it was, something like that. So it's like, I don't know. But that's, people would, the movement, if you want to call it that, would welcome him back. If all he did, no one's asking him to turn into like fucking Hitler. If all he did was just honestly using the same intellectual vigor that he used to address, and honesty that he used to address race and IQ, if he applied that on the with the topic of the Jewish question, people would love to have him back. I just don't think it's going to happen. Jay Orlando says, Devin, it's hot as shit out here in Florida, but I can only imagine. AZ, ours is wet, yours is dry. Well, who says I'm in AZ? The heat can kill us in a day or over decades. Also, skin cancer. Thanks for the stream. Yeah, I've never lived in Florida. I've been to Florida once. And it was to go to Miami, actually. And what time of year was that? I don't remember it being super hot. I remember there being a lot of black people not wearing a lot of clothes, and that was kind of not great. But I think Florida never really gets cold, so I don't think it needs to be summer for that to happen. I have to go back and look at my... I think it was like around this time of year. Actually, it was. It was around May. It was in May, so the weather was great, as far as I remember it. Beekeeping is really good in Florida until a hurricane hits. Then it's bad. White Man Alive says, for those who don't know, Fuentes is a control... Well, I don't know if that's true. Control opposition who worships Negroes. Groypers have been trying for weeks to take down Shiloh. I've heard rumors since 2021 that during the failed Yay 2020 bit, he had a threesome with Kanye and Milo. Well, come on. I don't know. That seems a little far-fetched. I don't know who I don't know. That I haven't heard anything like that. But yeah, I don't understand the Kanye thing. I haven't been on the internet for the last few days either. Hold on, oops. I hit the wrong button there. Sorry, I had a cough. My allergies are still bad. I don't think he's controlled opposition. I think that I feel uncomfortable criticizing him for liking rap when I was at his age. I liked rap. I'm just being honest. I didn't like fucking Kanye. I always thought Kanye was shit. And so did everyone else, by the way. I mean, the reason why South Park made an episode about Kanye being gay and retarded is because even back then, everyone knew that Kanye was gay and retarded. And I don't understand. I get that, a famous person is making fun of Jews and there's some mimetic energy you can harness there. And maybe it's kind of funny sometimes. But beyond that, it's kind of fucking gay and retarded. I haven't seen anyone trying to take down Shiloh. I don't know not that it's not happening. I just haven't been on the internet. And in fact, I haven't been on the internet all last week, really. But yeah, that's kind of gay if people are doing that. It's obviously something to get behind. And it's, speaking of mimetic energy, that's something that's mimetic it aligns with our values, you know? It's one thing to have something that's mimetic that doesn't align with your values, but you can still kind of maybe harness some of the momentum to in your favor. Like in the case of Kanye, right? You could say that maybe there's an argument to be made that he can, some of that mimetic energy can be directed in the direction of our enemies and do some damage. But ultimately, he's opening the song talking about how he likes to huff fucking nitrous oxide and he lets people fuck his wife. And he's black and yeah, that does matter. And so it's that, but that said, can you still harness the mimetic energy and make it a win in some way? Sort of. But in the case of Shiloh, that's actually way more powerful and it has way more appeal, by the way, to even the average person, even, the average soccer mom. And this does matter, is going to relate a whole lot more to a mother trying to protect her child from a pedophile Somali and who demonstrates a lack of fear in the face of this confrontation. That's going to be way more appealing than someone saying Heil Hitler nigger over and over and over again. After talking about letting people fuck his wife and huffing gas. So I mean, look, it just is what it is, and you don't have to agree with that, but it's true. And again, like I said, the argument that no, it's it's so low IQ to say it's it's because he's black. It's so low IQ. Oh, really? So you believe in a colorblind meritocracy? Is that right? Really? Oh, yeah. Cat got your tongue? Yeah. Because that's kind of what you're saying, right? And in a way, you're kind of saying, I don't see race. Is that it? Is that what I'm getting? Is that what I'm picking up on here? That the best person for the job, regardless of race. Oh, kind of like what Elon wants to do with hiring Indians, huh? Oh, that's weird. That's weird. Now that you think about it that way. But yeah. But as far as him being a Fed or... No, I don't believe that. I don't think he's a Fed. I think he's just some guy like all the rest of us who also get... I get called Fed, and you know what I mean? So I've seen no evidence that he's a Fed, and I've seen no evidence that he's had a threesome with Milo and Kanye. And... I haven't even heard that rumor. A rumor hasn't even been... Look, I'm not, like, plugged into the gossip scene by any means, and I interact with very few other, quote-unquote, influencers, right, in DMs. Very, very infrequently, and very few of them. And I've never heard anything like that, but I don't know. Maybe that rumor is going around, but I find that a little far-fetched. All righty, Lieutenant Dan... Wait, button didn't work. Lieutenant Dan says, life lesson from my fat little retarded toe, Elmo Waffen. I was anonymously reported for listening to the Alabama Nig song and fired without an investigation. My union has my back, and I'm fine. Just remember to tribe up, even if unions aren't perfect. They are useful. Can I get a... If I can find the button. I can't find the button. Some of my buttons are different now because I had to rebuild some shit. I don't think I have the button for it anymore. I'll just do it. Grocery store. I'll try to have the button back. I don't have all my buttons back. Yeah, I mean, I've never really had a union do anything for me, but... Yeah, I guess they can come in handy, depending on who your union boss is, right? If your union boss had been Yahweh Ben Yahweh, or Yahweh Ben Yahweh sympathizer, or Jewish, they might not have had your back. But, yeah, you always got to be careful. You always got to be careful when revealing your power level. But good luck with that, Lieutenant Dan. Appreciate it. Dave Shep says, good evening, Devin. I really appreciate what you do. Here is some shekels from my favorite history teacher. Also, Christ is King, Heil Hitler. Well, there you go. I noticed that you left off the nigga part. That's which I approve of. Statutory Ape says, in the South, the thing you can call a black, or in the South, the thing you can call a black that is a far greater insult than calling them niggers is calling them a moon cricket. That sounds unlikely, but I'll take your word for it. It is the end-all, be-all racial slurs. All I hear when I hear niggs who put on airs of being once a learned race is we was average IQ of 100 and shit. Well, again, I actually kind of feel bad for them. I feel bad for them because I don't know what that's like. Just imagine growing up in a country that was built by some other, like an alien. Let's say a race of aliens came, and they all had like IQs of 150 or 160 or 200. We'll just, let's exaggerate. They have IQs of 200. They have like super robot machines that like are well beyond anything any white man's ever created. They have teleporters and space lasers and the power of flight. and they kidnap us, and then they feel bad and like let us go, but we have to work in their alien society. And there's no way you're going to be able to you know, do anything useful in that society. They've already automated like half the shit that you could do, right? They've already mechanized you out of that part of the workforce. And with their IQ of 200, I mean, maybe some of them are retarded, so they're like almost as dumb as you. But you're basically fucked. You're basically fucked. And it's not like they came here on, like, they have a point. They didn't come here on you know, of their own will. It'd be another story if they had. But you can have that sympathy and that empathy for that situation that they're in and not think that therefore the answer is I have to pay for eternity for that bad decision that whites made by allowing Jews to bring blacks in as slave labor. That's not something that we should have to pay for eternity. And by the way, that's not something they should have to pay for eternity either, because they're the ones paying the price, as I described that we would be paying the price if we were kidnapped by aliens. So I think we need to start talking about solutions that don't involve keeping them here, because that's the problem. So the solution can't therefore be keeping them here, right? If the problem is blacks in your society, then the problem, or then the solution to that isn't how do we make it tolerable? It's like, no, how do we get rid of them? You know, it's like if you had, and I'm not comparing all black people to rats, but it's like if you had a rat infestation in your house, none of your solutions would be, let's build houses for the rats and then put food in the parts of the house where, like, I don't put my food. So I don't have to worry about opening up a cabinet and finding rats like eating my food, because they'll have all the food that I give them in the garage, or, you know, like that would never be a strategy. That would never be a strategy that anyone would try to attempt. They would just get rid of the rats. They would get rid of the rats. And again, I'm not saying blacks are rats, but it's the same logic applies here, where if the problem is their proximity to where you live, and how that often leads to situations where they are, you know, stealing your shit and damaging your stuff and hurting people and killing people, then get rid of them. Just get rid of them. Like, we got them here. We can obviously do it. You know, if we had the technology 400 years ago to bring them from Africa to here, I'm sure we have the technology to bring them from here to back to Africa. And that's the only solution. That's why it won't get solved. It's going to be a problem for the rest of our lifetimes, unless some kind of crazy black swan event happens where we're able to carve out with the lessons we've learned, a new piece of the earth, and start over again. But it's really impossible for me to imagine any scenario using the framework of the United States as it exists now, any way that you would ever actually be able to get rid of black people. So, but white people should at least be talking about it. If nothing else, so that the black people get a little nervous about it. Wandering fool. What are your thoughts on the Hodge twins with 3.4 million followers, most likely boomers, openly calling out black fatigue? Separately, I ordered some of your shirts in November. I still haven't received them. The company claims they are having supplier issues. They keep trying to refund me, but I just want the merch. Any help would be, I would appreciate. Well, I haven't heard that from anyone else, but I would maybe take the refund and then try to order it again. Maybe that's a way to try to do it. Maybe you're stuck in some like endless loop in their like customer service system or something like that. Just get the refund and then just buy it again and see what happens. You know, it's not going to cost you any more. I mean, they, right. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard of that from. They're not. I'll be honest. They're not the best company. They're late in paying me all the time, like all the time, like in a very unprofessional way. Like you just get an email one day and it's like, oh, you know, you're supposed to get paid today, but and it's not like. Don't worry, it's not like that much. Like a lot of my money does not come from that. If I made more shirts, it probably would. But still, I'm sure there's people that do rely on that. And they just send you an email saying, yeah, well, we're working on getting you paid. I'm like, working on it? What do you mean? And then you get paid like maybe a few weeks later. And it's like, wow, that would suck if like that was your whole income. Hodge Twins. I mean, I don't know. I don't know much about them. I know who they are, but I've never listened to them about anything. And, I mean, there's obviously some white admixture, unless I'm remembering incorrectly. I think they have blue eyes, right? Or at least not brown eyes. So that's obviously there's something going on there genetically, right? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I think they have a show. I've never seen a show, but I remember them back in like the first Trump administration getting popular because they were black and they were Trump supporters. Like that was really why they got popular. If they have evolved since then, that's a bonus, right? That's a plus. Yeah. I'm not saying that I don't want any black people helping me out. Don't get the wrong idea. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying that, don't put all your eggs in that basket. and don't make that like your, don't make that your champion, or else it just doesn't make any sense. If you have a problem with colorblind meritocracies and outsourcing, and yeah, it just doesn't, not a whole lot of consistency there. But yeah, maybe they're awesome. I don't know. I've never talked to them before, and I've never heard them say anything beyond whatever I've read in a tweet or something like that. Man of low moral fiber says Hodge twins are gay. Spritz are for president. Well, there you go. Man of low moral fiber is not a fan. Sneeter says Alex Jones staff member got shot in the neck and murdered by a brown invader. Should clip that with the I've got black friends, I played football and everything anti-racist bit that AJ does. It's past time to be racist. Racism saves white lives. May your listeners stay fit and be capable of extreme violence. Yeah, you should always be capable of extreme violence. I mean, I don't know. I think it's worth it to rub some white guy's death in everyone's face all the time. People get it. They know what they're getting with Alex Jones. If they don't, they should by now. He has boomer brain, and I don't know what's motivating it. I don't know what's motivating it. I don't know. I don't know why so many people. Well, here's the thing. You probably wouldn't have heard of Alex Jones ever if he had embraced. He would be like Jared Taylor was in the 90s talking to an empty room on C-SPAN, right? That's the thing is if you let people know that you're not a racist all the time and, oh, you can see where the Jews are coming from and you get a different platform. And I don't know. I don't know if that's what's going on there, but it doesn't make sense that someone who seemingly is aware of as many things as he seemingly is won't touch that and really wants to go the Joel Berry route and the James Lindsay route. Which is suicidal. It is suicidal. It's suicidal. And it should be mocked. But I don't want to rub a dead guy in anyone's face. Muhammad Chad Al-Dahib, I think. Your stream about black Marines in Okinawa hit home. When I was stationed there, there was an old guy who owned a store in Kintown that had a sign outside that said, no Kokujin and would tell black Marines to get out. Also back in 2017, where some Marines on Hansen changed the sign in front of the base theater to fuck niggers. Well, there you go. Yeah, there's a lot of bad blood between the Japanese and black servicemen, that's for sure, for obvious reasons. It's been a problem. That wasn't the first time it was a problem. That was probably one of the more egregious problems. But there were, like I said, even after World War II, after the initial occupation, there was a lot of black people raping Japanese women, and enough to where someone in the I think in the super chats mentioned, or maybe it was on Twitter, mentioned that, and again, I haven't verified this, but that there was enough blackanese, I guess you'd say, enough blackanese rape babies to actually use as a large enough sample size to do to collect social, you know, the IQ and race data from them. Muhammad Al Dahib again says, correction, it was 2018 and they changed the marquee from Black Panther to Fat Black Nigger. I remember walking by on the way to the PX and laughing my ass off. Well, there you go. There you go. I'm sure someone got disciplined though. Somebody got in trouble for that. Hopefully not too bad. Statutory Ape says the black guy behind the Trump shirt says Trump and Republicans are not racist. Gods are not racist. Gods2.com. What is that all about? Like I said, he's one of the, I don't know if you came in late. He's one of the Yahweh Ben Yahweh followers who was arrested for murder. And has since decided that the Democrats are the real racists. So there you go. There's not much more to tell of that story. All right. Now going over to Rumble. Let's see here. We got Zazzy McTazbot. As a single guy, I get asked why I don't have a pet. I have had bad experiences. I had to bury my dog on New Year's Day. I stayed home to watch the house as my family went on vacation. When I was much younger, I used to wait for the bus with my neighbors at their drive. You used to, or the dog used to? At their driveway one day. Their dog got hit by a car, and they just left it in the ditch next to the mailbox to rot. I don't know why that would change why you don't have a pet, but yeah, it's a lot of responsibility, and they die. They all die, and it sucks when they die. And there's a reason I don't have a dog. I don't have a dog because it requires too much attention, and I just wouldn't be able to give it them. I guess if I let it roam around outside, and I've got neighbors that let their dogs run around outside and they chase off the coyotes. And so if you got like a big enough dog, like you couldn't get a Chihuahua, that would just become desert food for something. But if you got like a big enough dog, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. And like I said, my neighbors do it and they'll leave for like a couple days at a time. And, you know, they'll have me go check on it and everything, but the dog's just roaming around in those 2 days and everything's fine. Because, you know, we live out pretty far in the middle of nowhere. But I wouldn't be able to get a dog right now just because of the responsibility of it. I'm not going to get a cat or anything like that for a while. Gravy Bear says, I heard there was no African word for maintenance. ChatGPT says there is, but I doubt it's rarely spoken. Black people don't seem to understand the concept, even the ones living in the West. It seems random, but okay. I can believe that. There is that Chinese documentary, right, where the Chinese are having all this trouble dealing with the Africans, destroying their machines, and because they're not maintaining them. Oh, there you go. Zazie McTasbart, this is the part that maybe makes your thing make sense. So do you think that you will get another cat, or are pets just something that happen? P.S. The more I write, the more my life is like the backstory to a Metalocalypse character. Thanks for the hard work. I never watched that show. I know the Adult Swim show you're talking about, but I've never seen it. I don't know. I've already had someone try to give me a kitten, and I thought about it. I did think about it. I was like, well, but no, not yet. Maybe. There's this woman I know who is a rancher, and she's got several. In fact, she's got some of my beehives on her property now, and she's got several acres and cattle and burros and horses, and her daughter raises cats. Her daughter has like 25 cats. And they tried to give me some of them. I was like, no. Like just the other day. I was like, no, it's no thanks. Hate Commander says, just as Jakob intended. Exactly. I almost wanted to play that clip again of the Black History clip that we all know and love. D-Man 119 with the big dono.
Money is power. Money is the only weapon that the Jew has to defend himself with.
Look how Jewy this fag is. D-Man 119, what's going on, Dev? The just-released game Doom the Dark Ages has a mega pit scene like in 300, and we got a big stream. This is the best night of my life. Are they still making Doom games? Doom the Dark Ages, huh? What does it look like? I must be full on old man mode these days. Not playing any video. It looks alright, I guess. I've always preferred shooters. First person shooters is where it's at. I always felt like that was the pinnacle of competitive gaming. Good. They got a mega pit in Doom. That's good. Just don't waste your life playing games. Everything in moderation. All right, we got Reunicated gifted me a membership to my own to my own channel. That's cool, I guess. As did Patton 537, which is kind of interesting. Night Nation says the Negro Yogi Bahan. This guy is going to is doing the same thing Yogi Bahan did with his Kundalini yoga cult in New Mexico. If you don't know that story, Devin, look into it. Tons of race masochist whites joined Yogi Bahan. That sounds vaguely familiar. Oh, yeah. Didn't we talk about this guy, sort of? I feel like we talked about this guy, sort of, once in a stream. I feel like Yahweh Ben Yahweh is infinitely worse, though, than Pajit, but I don't know. I'd have to see the whole story. I'd have to read and see if he was murdering white people and taking trophies. Maybe he was. Patton 537 says all WEF members are traitors. I would agree with that. I would agree with that to some extent, yeah. I mean, look, I understand the need for world leaders to get together and plan stuff, like, in a non-nefarious way, you know? I'm not opposed to world leaders trying to coordinate economic goals and and things like that. You know, I'm okay with diplomacy. I'm not okay with the way it's being done now and the way it seems to have been done for at least several decades, at least post-World War II. Rupert V21 says, good night, Professor Stack. Going to catch the replay of this annoying nog. See you on Saturday. Well, I appreciate that, Rupert. And yeah, you might be surprised. Surprise ending. Right. Then we got Ripping Mad says, Devin, you are an important part of our societal immune system. Well, I guess I try to be that. I try to be a inoculation, if you will, right? That's what the black pill really is. The black pill is there to build up your immune system. It's there to inoculate you and let you know the bad that's out there, so that just like an immune system that learns how to, you know, just like when you take penicillin. I guess, man, it's like penicillin. It's like societal penicillin, where penicillin sees, you know, it creates an infection in your body, and your body can handle that. It learns about it. It understands it. So the next time it encounters a similar infection, it knows how to fight it. And I kind of feel like that's sort of what I'm trying to do with the black pills, is present to you problems from the past, present, and future, so that you can recognize them and avoid them. D-Man119 says, I just found FBI Files episode on Yahweh Ben Yahweh, but it's true that the case isn't really common knowledge. Yeah, there's been a few things here and there that they've done, but it's no one fucking knows about it. There haven't, I mean, compare it to the kind of coverage that really any similar case would get. No one knows the name. It's not a household name. And to the extent that it has been, like, yeah, I'm not saying that no one's ever covered it. We started the show with that news piece. I'm not sure what the outlet was. But, you know, there's no movie about it. There was no wide coverage about it. There was no wall-to-wall coverage about this crazy cult lead. Like, you know, think about the coverage that things like Waco got in comparison. Or think about all the things that happened at the same time, like Jared Taylor was saying. At the same time, you have got all these other cases that are kind of minimal compared to what Yahweh Ben Yahweh was doing. And they get the coverage. Anything that shows white people as the bad guy, that's what gets the coverage. Let's see here. Scroll, 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 scroll. We got Negro Spritzer. Simply says NGGR several times. Not sure exactly what that means, but he says it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 times. I wonder if he'll say it 88 times next time. The Shogun says, fantastic episode, my guy. Well, I appreciate that, the Shogun. And we got D-Man119 again. Say, look up the level barrier core for Doom, the Dark Ages, and watch the end cutscene with this giant demon. It's a giant mine he gets kicked into, and I think we need a new Mega Pit button with it. Well, I'll check that out after the show there. All right, guys. Okay, I thought I broke Entropy. We got one more over on Entropy. We got Wandering Fool. Wandering Fool says, to clarify my question about the Hodge twins, I am asking about how you see someone considered a large influencer addressing race in such a direct manner. Is it a pressure valve, acceleration? Your thoughts on them personally are irrelevant. If just based on that, their follower count. Yeah, I mean, anything with, I guess it depends on how it's phrased. It's like you said, like you can phrase it in such a way that it is a pressure valve. It's the kind of thing, it's like, it's like a comedian, right? Like if a comedian gets on stage and there's something unusual about them, they have to address it immediately. or else the audience will be preoccupied. Yeah, if they're super fat, they have to make a fat joke. If they are old, they have to make an old joke. If they're obviously a lesbian, they have to make a lesbian joke. You know what I mean? Like, or else there's the whole elephant in the room. And people stop listening to what you're saying, and they can't take you seriously because they're so distracted by the elephant in the room. And so there is an element of that, I think, with the people who are not really on our side. And it goes further than that. If you are unable to control the narrative and it slips out of your hands, the best you can do is kind of like judo, right? Where judo uses your enemy's momentum against them, right? Like you try to redirect the momentum of your enemy to your advantage. And that's sort of what I think happens in those situations where if you have a topic that you've been able to keep taboo for, you know, 20, 30 years or whatever, and then suddenly it's out, the cat's out of the bag. Really all you can do is try to redirect it into the direction you want it to go. And you do see a lot of that, right? You do see a lot of that. You do see, I think Tucker is a master at this, right? Tucker, who will acknowledge white replacement and pay it lip service to some extent, but then we'll follow it up with how we shouldn't collectivize and starts to tiptoe down the retarded James Lindsay view of the world of I don't see race kind of a thing. And that's usually what you see from a lot of these people. I don't know how they phrased it. I'd have to see how they phrased what they've said. I've slightly seen, like I said, I've been off the internet for a few days, but when I logged in to catch up on a few DMs earlier today, and just to make sure that we weren't in World War III, unbeknownst to me or something like that, I noticed that Matt Walsh was going a lot more hardcore than normal. And so you got the same thing, right? He's got a lot more followers. He starts to phrase things in a way that I feel like he would have criticized people for phrasing in that way just a couple years ago. But they feel the wind blowing in that direction. If they're forced to do, I mean, it's good and bad, because in one way, it's good that means that we are making progress, that they're forced to acknowledge it. Because before, they could just shut you down by saying that you're evil or a racist, for even kind of implying that you can't relax around blacks or something like that, right? And so the fact that the narrative has changed so much that the people are actually acknowledging the black problem, I guess, is one way you could put it. That's good, but you just got to be careful with where they're directing this energy. Or if they're there to sit there and say, oh, yeah, no, I get it, too. Oh, yeah, I know. I don't like blacks either. And like I said, they're both black, right? So it's like they don't really have a lot of wiggle room. I don't know where they're going to go with it. But the Matt Walshes of the world doing the same sort of a thing, talking about white replacement and talking about the tweet that I saw. Was he said something along the lines of the leftist response to the white South African refugees shows you that really all along it's been about white replacement and getting less white people in America. And that's, for us, that's like obvious sauce. You know, that's like talking points from like 2014. That's not like, that's not like blowing anyone's mind, but it's crazier than not that someone with his kind of a following would say that, would actually vocalize it and phrase it in a way that maybe, I would have, in 2014. So that's a plus. It's a plus. It means that we've moved the needle in our direction. But it doesn't mean you just start implicitly believing and trusting the people that have previously been there to, or have been obstacles really up until now and are suddenly warming up to us. I mean, you don't want to punish people for warming up to you either, It's tricky. There's no simple answer to that. It's all context is key, because there's going to be a lot of all this going on. That's what makes this such a difficult job, trying to inform people, is you do have all these different voices and they all have their different motivations. And that's also why I only trust white people that have the same motivations that I do. You know, I like I said, I welcome the help of other people that want to help white people. Why, you know, I'm not going to turn it down. I'm not going to turn my nose up to that shit. But at the same time, I'm not going to trust it the same way I'm going to trust someone who has all the same motivations that I do. You know? Because at a certain point, you're going to have conflicting goals, unless it's someone that has all the same worldview and all the same goals that you have. If they have a different worldview and different goals, at some point your objectives are going to be in conflict, and that, you know, then there's a problem. Wandering Fool again says latest video gets pretty direct. No need to watch now, and he sends the link to the Hodge twin thing. All right, I'll take a look at that after the show.
Yeah,
nigga. I like that they open their show in a very black way. All right. Now take one last look over at Rumble. So I thought I saw something go by. D-Man119 says, forgot to mention, it's a giant robot you use to kick the Titan Demon into the pit in the New Doom. Just in case you get confused, I'll shut up now and have a good night, and I can't wait for the next show. Well, I appreciate that. And I don't have a get in the pit button anymore. I don't think. You know, I never play this, but I think this button works.
Get in the pit!
How about that? All right, guys. We're going to shut it down. And, thanks for being here. And hope we all learned something today. And we'll be back here on Saturday. Same bat time, same bat channel. In the meantime, I am, of course, Devastag.
Dex's father is fuming mad because he says a cartoon slipped a racial slur into an episode and it's gone decades without notice.
CW33's Giselle Phelps is live tonight in the studio with this story. Giselle.
Yeah, Amanda and Walt, I spoke with a father in Bedford today who says a racial slur in an episode of Fraggle Rock has gone unnoticed until now. We've got the sound from the episode and the script, and we're going to play it so you can judge for yourself.
I'm
2-year-old Zariah loves to watch Fraggle Rock reruns.
It is her favorite show.
But her dad says he recently heard a disturbing racial slur on the show.
My reaction was to keep replaying it. See if that's what I really heard. And that's what I heard. And that's what I hear.
This is the clip he's talking about.
All these motherfucking niggas everywhere. They're fucking everywhere. Don't forget fucking Jews.
Whether that was a Freudian slip, whether it was a mishap or whatever, it doesn't add up.
Is it an inside joke or